Welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
So gross.
And it was hot sauce.
You're an asshole.
And this is episode 99 of If Lands Could Kill. We are one away from the big 100, and we couldn't be more happy or more unprepared.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's spot on there, Knife.
Yep.
Good job. You think all this free time that we would be like really on top of it, but
well, Christmas just happened, family obligations and getting new shit and planning new things.
Yeah, so it is December 29th. Christmas just happened, and by the time you hear this, it will probably be the new year, so Happy New Year's.
Probably.
Probably.
Let's be honest. Guaranteed.
And we're going to save all of our New Year's talkings for episode 100. So we'll do a little bit of a year in review.
Now that's timing.
Yes, that is perfect timing, actually. The first
nailed
episode.
It.
First episode of 2017 will be episode 100. Or, you know, hopefully around that time. Anyways. So, if you're not familiar with this podcast, you should be, because we're kind of fucking awesome. But also, we like to shoot the shit for a while, and then we like to talk about magic. So, what better way to shoot the shit than talking about Christmas? Hooray! How's your guys' Christmas?
Fun. Son had a good time. And this year, like, he's 4 and a half now, whatever. So, like, last year, he realized when we woke up, and he saw the presents, you know what's going on. It's more exciting. But this year, as I'm trying to wake him up, I came home from work. I worked Christmas Eve, get home, like 4 o'clock. I start waking up at like 4:30, start nudging him. And he's like, he's not moving. And, like, he is dead out. I keep nudging him.
I thought you were going to say he was dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
And no. You had to take him to the hospital.
No. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah.
And every year, Santa came home, like, buys everybody, like, pajama set. So this year, he happened to get his pajamas in, like, a Mickey Mouse bag. And so as I'm nudging him, like, Santa came, Santa's here, and he brought presents and all this jazz, and he's not moving, he doesn't give a shit. And finally, he kind of cracks his eyes, and I'm like, look, Darby, Santa left you pajamas, like, it's in a Mickey Mouse bag, Santa was here, and he sees Mickey Mouse, his eyes, like, fly open, and all of a sudden, like, oh, Santa's here, let's go downstairs, let's go. Gets down there and fucking just, it was a great time watching him.
He had like a shit ton of presents, right?
Oh, God.
It was like the whole fucking house.
Yeah, I'm on all
literally,
these, like,
they bought
spoils
him a house.
The fuck out of... Has always spoiled the fuck out of me, my brother, like everybody for Christmas, like over the top. And to this point, to this day, she still does. But like now that she's got a grandson, it's even more. Like I bought him 2 cool little Pokemon presents, and my wife bought him like 2 little things, but like we're both going, like she's like feeling bad we didn't get him more, but at the same time realizing grandma bought him probably 40 plus presents.
Oh shit.
And half the toys he's not going to play with in 6 months, so.
No, it was a lot of Play-Doh, so like it's just, he doesn't put the shit away.
Well, that's going to be
so like he loses
eaten.
It, so it'll be gone quickly. No, yeah. He's not retarded. He doesn't
well,
eat it.
I'm just, he doesn't have to be retarded. He can be 4 and a half and just eat fucking Play-Doh.
You don't have to be retarded to think Play-Doh is delicious.
No. It's unique for sure. It's like a fine caviar. It's probably better than fucking caviar, to be honest. I never had caviar, but I'm sure it tastes like
shit. We should do a taste test. Caviar versus Play-Doh.
I'm sure it tastes so bad, they're like, this is expensive. Look how it's so bad. Like, it's like a very sharp cheddar or something like that. It's like,
is there different
variations garbage,
in flavoring between color to color of Play-Doh?
I have fucking no idea. I would hope so.
I thought you were the taste tester.
Watermelon and ass, and strawberry and ass, and fucking lemon and ass. They're all a little bit of ass in each one. It's not very good. From what I can remember, I'm not really sure. Maybe we should, next episode 100, I'll bring some Play-Doh. So a little taste test.
Hey, it's non-toxic.
The answer is coming your way.
No shit, that was like the first thing. All right, we're going to make something for kids. You got to make sure if they eat a shit ton of it, they're not going to die. Like, that's the number one thing.
Make it the consistency of, like, poo.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, they make all kinds of toys that are all about pushing it out, like it's poop coming out of the toy anyway, so yeah, it's just ready to go.
It is ready to go.
So yeah, it was a really fun Christmas
wait,
morning.
Wait, what if you put up one of those little, like, those little grater little things that you actually put?
Yeah, like star shit.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. So you actually, like, you have your son, he's gonna take a shit, and then you're like, all right, you hold the little piece of plastic up to his ass really, really tight, and they're like, just go, Darby, go. And then it's just like, out comes like spaghetti shit. Out comes like a star shit.
I feel really awkward with my son's name coming out of your mouth. I don't think it should ever happen again.
It comes out like pasta, you know, whatever. Why not? And then you just dye it, and it's like, just play with it forever now.
Oh, God.
I got more ideas like this. This is what I think about. You know when you're in your...
when you're unemployed?
Like, you're unemployed, and it's like 2 a.m, and you're just thinking to yourselves, and you're thinking about all the ways you're going to die later and all this weird shit? I don't. I just think about really obscure Reddit-esque shit. Like the... Anyways, I'll get to it later.
No, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, remember I was telling you guys about
just keep going,
the fucking the brony?
Oh, God.
There's this guy. I was just, you know, deep in the internet.
Why do we tell him
I found
to keep
out
going?
This fucking guy. There's like, you know, bronies. The guys that are in love with My Little Pony and they fucking
want to
have sex with animals and shit like that.
Yeah,
right?
the boiled cum jar you talked about last
episode.
Yes,
yes. So
it's like a part brony cast.
That wasn't even last episode.
No, we were just talking
like
it was.
We weren't even casting any of that?
No.
God damn it.
So this guy, that's what I was going to bring up. This guy had this mason jar with a little My Little Pony thing inside the jar, and he would just like come in this jar and like cover the pony with his cum like over and over again till he had like ounces and ounces of this stuff, and this whatever form, I think I saw it like it was like a, not the chive, but it was like one of those things, maybe it was like e-fucked, where it was like, I didn't actually see the actual article, I saw like picture snapshots of the form, and it had a picture of the fucking jar that he left on the hood of his car, and the heat of his engine, like, basically boiled his cum and ruined his masterpiece. And so the guy was super sad that all his, like, time and energy was wasted. And then the comments were all like, oh, man, I feel so sorry for you and all this shit.
What a heartbreak.
His whole community was behind him. Like, he was going to, like, get a fucking Kickstarter back.
You our cum to refill.
Dude, it's the most obscure shit that you can find on the internet. I swear
to God. At this point, any new listeners, we just lost.
I know, whatever. I never knew the internet could go so fucking deep, dude. I had no idea.
When you fucking told us about this last week, I was like, dry heaving off to the side. Just think about boiling.
It was so traumatic for me. I blocked it out. Like, he's gonna puke. I forgot about this.
It is gross.
I blocked it out.
It is the grossest.
And
thing
this
ever.
Is fucking gnarly.
I'm sorry to bring it up, but I mean, like, I'm not sorry to bring it up.
Like the boiling cum.
We don't have to go too far into it, man. Make people get it.
I know, but the boiling cum, like, it's only like it's so bad that it outplays the coming on a fucking My Little Pony or a brony fucking dude. It just, all of it's so bad. It's not okay.
Moving on.
So Christmas morning was fantastic. My son had a great time. my mom does some like gift cards, a couple here and there, and it was like starts like little boxes, and he cracked open this box, and just a picture. Because I guess like a couple weeks ago, he lost some gift cards. He was playing with them, and like she can't find them now.
That sucks.
She's gonna find them.
Gift cards is they hope that you'll never use them and or lose them. So
she's gonna find them. They're just lost in her room right now. But so at one point she's printing out a picture like in black and white of Mickey Mouse. And so he saw it right away, like on his own. He's like, "Oh, we're going to Disneyland!" Like he's never been. He's never been. Like
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been better if it was like just like a Mickey Mouse gift card. He's like, "We're going to Disneyland." You're like, "Fuck!"
You're like, "There's $30 on here, and you're gonna get one toy." maybe not with shipping. Yeah. I don't know.
But that was pretty cool because I've always, you know, my wife had brought me before. Like, we're taking him to Disneyland. I'm like, well, what's the fucking point? We're spending a shitload of money, and he's not old enough yet to remember it. At 4 and a half now, like, he's going to remember it and have a great fucking time. So it's like perfect time for us to take him this year. So he's all excited about that. It's going to be good. Are we getting into what we got for Christmas at all right now? Or
sure,
we...
go for it. I mean, you don't have to list off the whole thing.
Yeah, of course,
The notable mentions.
Well, my main thing I asked for was another large gift card to a TCG player. And, $350 later.
Damn, son, that's nice.
Yeah. I've already spent like 200 of it and gotten, I don't know, like 95 cards on the way. Shit ton
fucking
of promos.
Great, man. And Jesus.
Sunken Hollow Expedition and Damnation full art promo. And
I once had a Sunken Hollow Expedition.
No, it was a Watery Grave
Expedition. Watery Grave.
I'd much rather have a Watery Grave. But I was like, it was the cheapest expedition. I'm like, okay, well, with Frontier coming being a thing, I already have a Demir deck. I'm like, whatever, I'll grab one of these.
I was thinking the same thing because all of them are like $20 to $30.
Yeah, they're really not bad at all.
Man, that would be nice to just have one of each of those as well.
Yeah.
That's still $200 to $300, though, which is not cheap, but it is, they are really pretty.
Yeah.
You know, they are really nice.
Sweet. So I saw that, I was like, screw it. Of all times, like, you all buy shit on TCG Player or buy Magic cards in general. Of all times, like, just blow the little bit of extra money that you want to buy something on, but you don't because you're like, fuck, what, you know, it's too much. You get a gift card. You're supposed
to
splurge, right?
That's totally right. No, gift cards should be that. Like, I'm thinking about maybe, like, I was like, oh, maybe I should just buy a box of something or two boxes or something like that. And I'm like, no, I shouldn't. I shouldn't gamble with it. I should just fucking spend it on the singles. I should not gamble.
Especially since, like, you're doing, like, the selling the shop thing. Like, that's not the point for it right now. Like, you're going to open those boxes, you're going to sell most of the shit you open.
Probably,
so like,
right.
That's
no,
not,
you're,
that's
no, you're
not
right.
fun for a Christmas present.
You're
like,
right.
You should
totally
just
right.
splurge on fucking Expeditions
first
or something.
First time you're right, ever.
Okay.
I haven't teased you yet this episode. I got to get that in real quick. See if I can remember again.
Just wait. You'll see. So yeah, a couple of those things. Some other cool shit on the way. A lot of fucking promos. A lot of, I'm going to build a Dimir Summonings modern deck. So I got a couple pieces for that. You know, just random shit. Some commander staples, you know, some things to grab.
And, fair enough.
Yeah, so, and I still have 130 bucks on there or some shit. So it's like, yeah, okay. Nice. Pretty excited about it.
Perfs.
Besides that, I got a few Xbox One games. Some things are going to be fun.
What'd
and exciting.
You get? What games?
Titanfall 2.
Okay.
Battlefield 1.
Okay.
ReCore.
Okay.
And I had asked for Elder Scrolls Online because I haven't bought that game because I'm just so scared it's going to like ruin. Not. I love Bethesda and I love the Skyrim series and the Elder Scrolls series. So like I know it's not the greatest and I don't like the style of way they went, so I haven't spent the money to buy it myself. I was like, screw it. It's under 20 bucks. I'll ask for this. My mom accidentally bought the Skyrim like re-release special edition one now, but I'm like, okay, well, I'm not mad about this. I mean, my wife loves that game. That's like the main game I've gotten her to get into video games on. Like, she still plays it all the time. We have it on Xbox 360, on PC, on PlayStation 3. Yeah, so she played it anyway.
That's cool when the girlfriend, significant other, like, not really into it. They're like okay with you being into it, but it's like, I'm not really into your games, but they have that one where like even Reich's wife is really into Fallout. And that's pretty cool. Yeah. That's a pretty serious game.
Same game makers.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. You know that's Skyrim would also be a rally. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So it's fucking cool. And so like she likes those Telltale games, but I don't even consider those fucking games. So like I'll buy them for her, but I don't even.
No, that's just like binge watching Netflix. Basically, is the
yeah.
Same
but I don't do
that.
It with her because I don't fucking care about them. I already know the story.
I think the stories are good.
I know you've had a discussion before how you and your girl do it. And, like that's cool. But I don't know. It's not
Pretty like mature, you know, like it's nice in the story, like people fucking die, you know, like shit is not so cartoony and PG, you know,
I get
nice.
It. It's just to me it's an expensive animated book. Like it's it's a gory children's book and I want to play a video game. So I don't know. It's not for me. We've had discussion before. So like for my wife, that's her favorite game of Skyrim. So like she saw it too, she's like, oh fuck yeah. I'm like, sweet, now we have it on 4 systems. And that's okay because then she can play where the fuck she wants.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that means I can get back into it again and not be playing on 360. So that's pretty cool. Some other things, random shit here and there. I'm sure some other wait a second. Hold on a minute. The one thing also I found was a Shadow Trooper fucking full on a helmet. I was on sale. I asked for that, and it's fucking amazing. It's put together now, and I rolled up over here to Knife's house wearing it while driving.
Yeah, it's not like the $1 million one, but it is like the second from that. Like it's very good.
It is quality. It's not like just gonna fall apart. It is.
No, it's
I talked about it before, maybe a little in the cast, so I might get it kind of thing. How I was hoping to get it. I did get it, and it is that exact level where. I even talked about how to like take out the like little voice box thing out of it because it just did create more space. But it didn't matter. The voice box thing was shitty. But besides that, like people use these particular models as like their own personal ones that they're gonna model themselves and create their own suits out of. It's like the secondary version rather than like the $400 helmet. It's the $100 helmet I got on sale for $50.
Yeah,
kind of thing. Well, for Christmas present, anyways. And so it's fucking awesome. I love it.
It's dope.
I have a black fucking Kia Soul in my car, so it matches the car as I'm driving up in it and shit. And then Hot Sauce rolls up late to the cast here and. I'm like, oh, he's coming right now. So I throw it on my fucking head real quick, and I'm wearing it as he rolls up. Like, God, that's dope. Fucking sick. Yeah, so
I went to the car show today, and the San Diego car show, and they had, Nissan has a Star Wars edition Rogue, Nissan Rogue, like their SUV, whatever. It was pretty lame, to be honest. Like, it literally was, like, stickers on it, and that's it. It was pretty bad. But I was excited to see it a little bit, even though Rogue is a stupid fucking car I'm not interested in. But, a Star Wars edition car, that's a pretty cool thing.
No.
And I saw it, I was like, I'm kind of disappointed. And they didn't even let you go into it. Like, it was shut. And I'm like, really? This is like a $25,000 car.
Basically, they just stuck stickers on it and didn't do anything to the interior anyways.
I think that they had, like it wouldn't be, like, stitching in the interior. It'd be, like, cheaper than that, It'd be, like, basic stuff. It was pretty bad. It was
just
pretty bad.
Just trying to full-on capitalize on the movie.
Yes, exactly. Like, I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
I was hoping, like, there could be something, like, some kind of, like, color scheme besides just, like, white and black, something that just... Something that's added some flair. And then, you can charge $5,000 more for it, but just make it, like, really customizable. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So I saw my favorite car I've ever fucking seen in person the other day outside the bar. Dude fucking is like a lime green matte color paint job.
Okay, that's dope.
And so it looked fucking sweet out the get. I think it might have been Not a Charger, but one of that similar style, one of the new Charger styles, but that sleek fucking sports kind of car.
Was it the two-door or the four-door?
Two-door.
Okay, so it's a Challenger.
Okay, I think it was a Challenger then. And so it had, like, you know, the lime green neon, like, matte color, and on the right above the right rear wheel well, that's fucking hard to say, was fucking said, "Why So Serious?" And it had the fucking, like, Heath Ledger, like, black decaled fucking face smiling on there.
That's pretty dope.
And the front bumper had like the 20 different like ha 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 ha's on the fucking on the right above the fucking on the front light. Like, it just looked fucking sweet.
That's pretty sick.
Fucking cool as shit.
Modern day donk right there. It's pretty sweet.
You were at a car show. Let me think of that.
Yeah.
What are you doing over there? Knife your sleep?
Custom shit over there.
Go on. Talk about your stupid whatever.
So yeah, you know, fucking fun Christmas. I got some other shit too, but you know, whatever. And
yeah, I'll bring up this thing because I got something to talk about that.
Yeah, so I figured you'd bring it up for yours too. But yeah, so yeah, I have definitely some cool stuff. Mom did awesome jazz for it. Oh, something she did do new this year was, like, every year she always buys like tons of little knick-knacky bullshit that are like, oh, it's cool. Like, she's getting this random little like carabiner or random shit that you're never actually gonna, like, it just sits in the fucking box.
Yes.
Or whatever for the
it's
whole
like
year.
It's like stuff for nonsense.
Yeah, just, but so like she'll spend like $100 on this like crap. And so finally this year, she's not something new. Like, she refuses to give money for presents, which, you know, I get, and that's, you know, totally fine and all that jazz. But she was, like, finally realized, like, you know what? Instead of spending, like, wasting all this money on each of you for this crap that doesn't get used, just gets thrown away 2 years later and just creating clutter. She created this fucking, like, scavenger hunt for my brother, myself, and my wife to do throughout the house.
That's
like,
dope.
Like, you know, little, like, you know, rhyming clues of, like, you know, different things that are, you know, in our house. And she, like, created, you know, and cut them into strips so, like, you open up those as presents to find a new clue as related for the scavenger hunt deal. And it's like 30 different fucking clues. And then when you found the spot in the house where it's hidden, it's like a strip of paper with my name on it, my wife's name, my brother's, each there, and, like, each had, like, 10 points on it. And so, like, it became, like, this fun little game of, okay, we're all going to, like, wait till we all open each, you know, all 30 of these fucking clues together, be looking at them, figuring them out, and then fucking, like, go and try to find it and see who wins kind of thing. It didn't really matter who won, but it was just kind of fun. Like,
yeah, no, that's fun. If someone takes that much care into something like that, that's really, really fun. Just like Easter egg hunt type shit,
yeah,
you know?
And so
I'll do an Easter egg hunt as an adult. I don't give a fuck. It's just fun.
Yeah, so I brought that back, that little, like, you know, my brother and I competitive kind of thing, like every brother is. Every brother says is. So, you know, I end up winning, of course, because, of course.
You're competitive.
But afterwards, you know, I'm like, you know, Last fucking clue ended up being like something under the tree, and also included like my mom being the last clue. So we go to her, hand her the fucking points of everything we found. She pulls out this like little gift card thing, not a gift card, like a little like nice looking little envelope deal with like a little letter on there saying she loves it kind of deal. And then she's like, "Oh yeah, so how many points did you guys get?" I'm like, "Okay, well, 30 times 10, 300. She goes, "Well, that's how much cash you're each getting handed."
Damn.
Like, oh, okay, goddamn. Yeah, thanks, Mom.
I got a really bad joke.
Go for it.
But was your brother's gift an effie pen?
Oh! It's his girlfriend's birthday today, too. I hope you never listen to this cast.
It was her birthday.
God, I have like a rush over my body right now from even saying that. Woo! God.
Oh, we're
joking
bad
over
people.
Death. Here we go.
Bad people. I don't know what else to say or do.
Oh, no, God.
It's like shitty. I was wearing the my stormtrooper, the fucking old black stormtrooper helmet out of the house to show him. And so he showed, he's like, fucking A. He's all excited. He's all like stoked on it too. So I was like happy to get him to like laugh and smile for 5 minutes today. So that was cool on the way up.
Dope.
That's a rough day for him.
Pretty rough, yes.
Fuck,
indeed.
Dude. If you don't know, listen to previous cast. You'll understand. Yeah.
Bees, my friend. Bees.
So yeah, that was my Christmas.
All right,
and yeah, so I got still got my TCG player. So fuck you guys.
This thing to talk about right here that I'm holding in my hand that the listeners can't see because this is the radio, and it's one of those fucking VR headsets, whatever they call it, the VR glasses. So like you put your cell phone into it, and then you fucking watch whatever video or play whatever game, whatever.
Porn. The newest crock of shit.
The right first thing I do when porn. I get home from fucking Christmas
is
I fucking play porn through it. And
is it good?
I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty fucking good. It was pretty fucking good.
You're sitting there fucking jacking it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
How'd you hit your target? You couldn't see
the. I wasn't really jacking it while I was watching it. I was just watching porn.
But you're gonna change your style of jacking it now, though, dude. You're like free ball and free aim this shit.
The videos were like, I mean, You see, the thing is with the VR, with using your cell phone.
POV, baby.
The thing is with using your cell phone is that the resolution's not very good. Because you're getting your normal 1080p display, and you're cutting it in half so you can go one for each eye. So, like, it wasn't very clear. It was, like, okay at best. But, yeah, like, the girl's, like, on top of you, you know, blowing you, riding you, like, the whole thing. And because it is, like, your entire field of view, like, she is gigantic. Like, it feels real
you
because...
You lay down on the bed and, like, get in the position to do in the video.
It feels real because it's, like, fucking... It is a big... It feels real. Like, the size is appropriate for a chick.
I want to see your butthole. Turn around.
And they do this weird thing where, like, oh, yeah, they had one of those where, like, she's blowing you, whatever, and then she would, like, she kind of backed her ass up to you. So it's, like, taking up the whole vision. And it's just, like, pussy and butthole, like, right up in your face.
Chocolate star.
Yeah, like,
2 inches right up in your face.
And considering how he is on, like, butthole, he's like, no!
Yeah. No! Yeah! The boob's going to come out. No!
Yeah, it's pretty.
I can taste it.
It's worth trying. It's worth trying. And just disinfect your fucking headsets, and we'll share them with the cast, you know, and everyone can enjoy themselves.
You know what? If next time I come over, I'm just going to be like, hey,
fucking, check it out.
Start me up on that porn. Just go in the other room, turn the music up loud.
Tell you what, you're going to get a boner. Like, it's a guaranteed
no,
boner.
No, I'm going to masturbate in your house.
Yeah. No, let's make a deal here. So you're not at my house,
Jack. It's not the first time a friend's
so
using my shit.
So Austin will leave us earlier than us. Well, we're going to hang out. I'll just you know, tweak my deck. I'll deck build. You can go inside for 20 minutes, and you can go ahead and use mine that I brought today.
I'm just saying, it's worth
you
it.
Got
just
a deal.
What I'm saying. Hey, so watching
bros,
videos,
right? Come on, give me a high five.
High five. Right.
Watching videos and doing the rest of it, it's very lackluster, so it's like nothing. You know, luckily the glasses are like $70 and like no big fucking deal. But the VR experience with like actually using a computer, I'm sure, is just great. But porn will do just fine. My phone got super hot. It was like trying to stream like high bitrate shit for like way too long. I'm like, all right.
Probably also because you were sweating into the mask.
God damn.
Yeah. Sweats in my eyes. I can't see the camera anymore.
Come here, Riley Reed. Get over here. Yeah, good times. So Christmas. Besides that, got a little headset thing. I got... So this was for my birthday, but I didn't want to like talk about it because I wanted people to see it in person, as in castmates. But I got this 3-foot-long, custom-made, took 6 weeks to make it, X-Wing. And it's fucking this huge model.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Like, it's where you don't... Nobody deserves to even own it. Not even the guy that made it. And it's just ridiculous. And I bought a TV mount, like one of those wall mounts with the extendable arm, for like a 15-inch TV, you know, like a really small, low-duty mount. And I fucking mounted it on the wall, and now it's like coming, you know, out of the wall, and then it's coming at an angle, so it's kind of like in an attack position,
Dive bombing that shit.
Yeah, and it looks sweet on the wall, but it especially looks sick when I'm actually sitting in my chair and looking at that wall. It's like the perfect angle of attack, like it's coming right at me. It's
making, fucking
awesome.
Making that
awesome.
Death Star run.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's fucking awesome. So that was one thing.
It does have R2-D2 on top of it, so it's Luke.
And I got a custom pilot that was like, you know, he got like a regular pilot and then like put a beard on him and whatever and got the hairdo that I have, you know, and like made it look like me. Minus 50 pounds, but still.
Or like Biggs Darklighter, you know. It was like him in there. Not like you.
But yeah, it's cool. It has like fucking blaster marks on it and all this fucking
tons
shit.
Of, it's got lights on it, and then it has, he has these like fluctuating LEDs that are for each of the exhausts for like the turbines or whatever. So it shows it like, just like it would in space where it's kind of like, you know, it's not consistent. It's not just on. It's like flickering. So it's fucking rad. It looks legit. And so that's pretty exciting.
Real quick, before I forget, I'm sure if you guys have heard by now too, did you guys know that in the new Rogue One, they use actual footage they didn't use of a couple of the squad leaders from the original fucking movies?
No.
They actually use original
footage. I know
footage
that they CG'd for fucking, what is his name, Gold Leader or whatever his name is. I fucking remember.
Well, but a couple of them, no, they full-on fucking use original.
I know, I get
footage.
I didn't know that.
So,
point is that they had, you know, the original squad or some of the original squad, and they had to CG, just like they did with Tarkin or whatever, they had to do for them, too. I didn't notice that, really, but I mean, because I wasn't thinking about it.
So
I didn't know about it until after seeing the first one, and I saw, like, an internet post about it. I was like, well, that's fucking pretty sweet.
So I did notice that the Gold Leader, it was the same guy, and he didn't look CGI'd, and I was okay, what the fuck? Because the CGI they use in the movie is very noticeable, despite how on certain characters...
That's an opinion, by the way, because I don't agree, but it's fine.
No, I'm saying on certain characters, you're like, it's questionable. You know what I mean? Except for the last CGI, that was horrible, and anyways, but... Let's not go there.
The first...
The first CGI they used was pretty good. But yeah, his voice, that's what got me. I was like, that is the exact same voice, so I didn't know if they did like a voiceover
again tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to leave early for the cast again, because I'm going
to
leave
I need to see it again, because after already hearing that, I was watching it, and I feel like for a quick second, while watching, like, they keep doing a bunch of close-ups of the different leaders, I feel like in the background of Gold Leader, I think it was Gold Leader at one point, is actually, you can see, like, the original, like, footage of, like, what would be the Death Star when he's doing that run. So, like, if you look at, like, you're trying to look at, you know, when you're looking at him, see if you can see out the side window as well and see if you see that as well.
I'm going to be looking for all kinds of shit now. Okay,
I feel like
details.
I saw a little blip that felt like it looked like Darth Star.
It's going to be a really good movie to see twice. I know that.
Definitely.
I've already seen it twice. It's good.
Okay, it's excellent. Fun. Perfect.
Yeah, you're not going to be disappointed.
Excellent. So, other shit of the week or two. I got my gun back from the 10-day waiting period or whatever, and I installed that safe that I was talking about, which is so pretty dope.
You made it back to that meth house and, like, made it out again?
It did.
Good for you.
Made it out alive.
Well, he's mostly white, so he's fine.
Yeah.
Mostly.
I put Caucasian on all my shit. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah, and that's when Kelly, when we talked about this the other day, when we first, I met her on Match.com of all fucking places, right? Which is super weird to talk about. I don't know why, it's just something, even though it's totally modern.
It's like
that day,
magic stigma. It's like
it's totally modern day, like
nerd.
People do, but it's like,
creeper troll.
It feels like, yeah, why did you need to resort to this? And like, blah, blah, blah. It's fucking weird. It's because I used up all my
options.
What's
wrong with your girl?
It's because I either got denied or I fucked everybody that is I knew in my 50-mile radius of friends.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, so... Basically. But yeah, she was talking about that I put white on the profile, and she's like, and she sees the pictures, she's like, well, some of them you look white, some of them you look Mexican, some of them you look Arabic. Like, I don't know what the fucking guy is. Like, what is this guy? Depends on the beard and, like, the length of my hair. It's like, who is this person?
There's definitely a picture in your house, I think in your computer room, where it's a picture of you and her, and you're, like, skinnier, and yeah, you look very much non-white in that picture.
Right? Like, more tan, like, shaved head, basically, like, buzzed head, I should say, not shaved, and then, like, the beard's bigger, and it's like, who's that guy? I agree. I just change every
Can
once in a
while. Can we inspect your
every
shoes?
Every 6 months. No, you can't. Private.
Probably wearing sandals, fag.
Exactly. So I got some, let's see here. I got some bikes. Me and Kelly both got bicycles. Like, you know, like not mountain bike, but not road bike. Like just kind of your general.
Bicycle.
Want to ride my bicycle.
Queen's amazing.
The best.
What else did I get? I can't really think of shit. I got a little bit of cash here and there and whatever. Like for magic cards. My mom was like, can't figure out like what exactly she wanted to get me, so I'm like, well, if you just get me magic stuff. So she got me like a Visa gift card for $100, and then she got me I think a $100 bill or something. And I'm like, sweet, that's all just going to magic, you know, $200.
Nothing else is put onto the player now.
Right,
get store credit by it.
So I got something in my pocket. Yes, perfect. I'm glad I did not forget. This
I don't
want to
see your dick again.
It'd be awful if I forgot. So you ready? I got condoms from my girlfriend, right?
Oh, God.
And it was in my stocking, and I'm like, and my mom was opening gifts for me, so I had my hand on them, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, my mom's cool, but I'm like, probably don't want to just be flashing condoms off.
Please tell me.
Let me pass these off. One at a time. So don't tell him, you just pass it. One at a time.
So
we're just buying time. Everyone, just enjoy yourselves. I'm passing around condoms that are Star Wars themed condoms.
I immediately knew as soon as you pulled out the condoms that they were going to be Star
some
Wars.
Kind of, see, some kind of gag
for me,
ones, right?
Last year, your mom got us the sweet coasters for Christmas with our cast logo on it. I thought we got if Lance could kill condoms.
Yeah.
That'd be dope. I was like, oh, well, come on. That's awesome.
Never
I don't use condoms, but that'd be sweet.
So I got condoms, like it says, like, I will not be your father. May the force be with you.
Oh, that's the best one. I haven't even read that
the
one
The force is strong
one.
With this one. And then looking for love in Alderaan places.
Looking for love in Alderaan places.
Yeah, it's fucking pretty
that's
epic.
That's the best. That's
yeah.
goddamn
Dude, these
the
are
best.
These are great. I think they were off of I don't know, Etsy or one of those fucking places. I have no idea. Custom shit. Like, last year, she got me a Chuck Norris Planeswalker card. It was, like, reminiscent to Nicol Bolas. And it was silly. It was, like, minus was, like, win the game and whatever. Fucking roundhouse kick to the face. I don't remember what. But it was pretty dope. And this was, like, the other, like, gag of the fucking week. Yeah, it was fucking awesome. And so I got a tablet also. I'm finally on the fucking train of getting the tablet. So I got a 10-inch Samsung Galaxy whatever the fuck. I put it from my cat to both of us. Like, we're both going to share it. It's hers, but I mean, like... I'm gonna
but
use
you
it
bought
cast,
it for yourself.
You know, why not? Why not? Got to get in the game. Fucking got the tablet. And I got some other shit. I just can't really fucking remember what else we got. But it was a great Christmas.
Yeah.
We got, like, I got overloaded with shit for sure. I got, like, way too much stuff. It was awesome. I spent way too much money on other people, which I felt good about to, like, actually do it, you know? That was, like, the money from selling the car is, like, just, yeah, it's fine. It's in the account. Like, I'll just go ahead and just... Any little cousin or whatever that I normally don't buy, now I'm 30, so it's like, fuck it. Everyone's getting a gift card. Everyone's getting a present, you know? It was a good time.
So you were Oprah this Christmas.
What's that?
You were Oprah.
I was Oprah. Everybody gets something. Look at your seats, everyone. So, yeah, it was good. I know. We saw Star Wars. That was fucking epic. That's what came out, you know, since we didn't talk about it really.
No, we talked about it. We were supposed to do a spoiler cast last time.
It's happened last year, too. We were going to do a spoiler cast and didn't happen.
Not a big deal.
Never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
We'll say it next year, too, when episode 8 comes out.
Exactly. That'll be exciting.
Are they going to make a Boba Fett fucking movie yet? Like, it's in the works, right?
They're not saying which
side. The next one's Han Solo.
Well, they haven't 100%. Have they 100% said that Han Solo is the next side story?
It's on IMDb and shit like
that. Okay.
So that's supposed to be...
I hope the one after that is fucking Boba Fett.
I hope so, too, because he does need his fucking day to be a badass. Because he's not been a badass yet, really.
But everybody loves him. He's so fucking awesome.
Yes.
It's like, give us an origin story.
Like, Django's had more than Boba, you know what I mean? Yeah, so which is shitty. More of a limelight. Yeah, so... I can't really say too much else. I don't know. It's been some good shit, though. It's been really fun. This whole fucking week or two has been really awesome, so... But, yeah, what about you, buddy?
Well, as I look down at my feet, I can only be reminded that in my stocking, my girlfriend got me some Demir socks.
Oh, fucking jealous. They're so awesome.
They are black socks, which I am not a fan of. I don't know about other places in the world or the United States, but black socks means you're a bro douchebag.
See, I love black socks, but not high socks.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Regular ankle socks.
Yeah, I like the black ankle socks.
Which is like, I have gray ones, but still, it's like, I prefer these.
The high ones are typical, like you're saying, bro.
Yeah. So, but they're black, and the symbol, the Demir symbol is in blue, and it's just amazing. Apparently, got them off of Etsy, and she got me two pairs, so I was, like, super fucking stoked for that.
Yeah, that's fucking cool. I need to go find that, because I don't give a shit. I have to buy it. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah,
I'm, like, 90% sure I'm getting the Demir logo tattooed on me, so, yeah, I want those fucking
I was
socks.
Looking for gift ideas for you guys, basically, like, a month ago, and I found these, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to buy them, but... So I told Elena, I'm like, you gotta fucking get these things. These are awesome.
Why didn't you text my wife? God damn it. I know you don't know her that well. Should have done it anyways.
I text her about other things.
So, other stuff I got. I got the Plane Chase Anthology.
Oh, nice. Yes. Good, good.
Woo-hoo! So, just gotta buy a bunch of sleeves and fucking some double-sized sleeves and fucking put that bad boy together.
I'll get you sleeves for your gift.
I'm glad one of us got it because I almost asked for it, but I was like, God, there's not enough value in here. I was like, fuck it. I'd rather have a gift card to TCG player, but I'm glad one of us got the fucking thing.
Yeah, I was super stoked. My family's not big on like gift cards or anything like that. They want to give like actual presents. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. I was like, well,
which is better.
I'm never going to buy this for myself. So, you know, I'm going to. And that was like the only thing I asked for because it's, you know, it's like, you know, we don't go over the top. My niece is, fuck, how old is she? She's 9.
Just the right age.
She's 9, so we just spoil the shit out of her, and we only get, you know, a couple presents for everybody else. But anyways, my dad was like, hey, you know, send me some more stuff. And I was like, I don't even know what I want, you know? So upon Jay Boosh's suggestion, I got a board game / card game called Boss Monster. Okay. And basically, it is...
The idea sounds awesome, by the way.
Yes.
I'll just say it right now.
You are... Okay, so, first of all, it comes in a box, and it looks like the old-school NES box.
Okay.
And it's all 8-bit.
It's already sounding good.
Yeah, already a little bit fluffed. And basically, you're the end boss of a dungeon, and you have to, like... make your so you're playing against another person and they're a boss also. So there's like heroes that you know come
traverse
in
the dungeons.
They come into town and you have to make your dungeon attractive enough for them to come in, but deadly enough for you to kill them before they get to you. And you are the last room in the dungeon.
It seems like weird, like tower defense elements to it. You know?
I'm fucking excited. Tricks and really traps. Really excited. That strategy type game like that, I'm all about that
shit. It seems cool. Awesome. I guess there's a bunch of expansions for it. Me and my girlfriend played it the other night, and she... I really curbed the argument because I read the rules, and not that I'm the master understander of anything, but... I read them a certain way, and since I know how to play Magic, I understood them, you know, about priority and stuff like that. And she didn't, you know, she's like, that's not how that works. And I'm like, I literally just said when I read the rules. And so anyways, I was like, all right, whatever. Like, you know, us having a good time is way better than...
Sure, honey, you can win.
Yeah. So I was just like, okay, that's fine.
So you botched it a little bit. And
yeah.
Just kinda,
and I still beat her. It's fine.
Good.
But, she deserved to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
She deserved to lose.
Yeah. So, we had a good time with that.
I could not play that game against my wife. Like, she'd already be mad about having to think about the strategy of it.
Yeah.
And then we ended up in a fight. Like, it wouldn't be worth it.
And it was a pain in the ass because I was like, all right, you know, whatever. We'll play it that way. And then after that, she was like trying to angle shoot the rules to her favor. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm going to have way more fun playing this with my friends.
Yeah. Like, that's, okay, so I love playing a game like this. With friends that, like us, or like, you know, our friendship, because we trust each other where we know the rules of the rules. And there's no, like, fuffing about with it, because, like, you need to follow the rules to a T to enjoy the game, you know.
Correct.
Because that's how it was made.
That's how it's made. And so, like, some other playgroups, I'm sure, can, like, faff about with it and fucking change little rules here and there because they think it's, like, fun or whatever. We're not that kind of people. We're
it's
like,
not Monopoly where it doesn't give a shit. The house rules matter Monopoly.
Yeah. Following rules is fun. It's a way to do it, you know?
Yeah. So I was like, whatever. Us having a good time is more important than me winning this game, you know?
Which I did anyways.
Yeah, but I won anyways. It's fine. It's fine.
That's an important point to know.
And, yeah, there's a bunch of expansions for it. So I'm definitely interested in getting the expansions and playing it with you guys. Seems super fun.
So I wanted to cut in real quick because I forgot about a couple things.
Yeah.
So I got a steering wheel for my PC, which is awesome. Okay. Besides that, I started playing Witcher 3.
Okay.
So Witcher 3 is like, it's be up your kind of alley.
Oh, I bought it day it came out, but I was still in the middle of playing Witcher 2.
Yeah.
And I haven't beat that yet because so many other games came out, and I've been kind of like in a weird hiatus on games
for a bit.
So like, I bought a game one day one where I could have waited for it to go down, but I anticipated I was going to like go through Witcher 2 and then go right into Witcher 3, but then other shit happened and other things went on. So I bought it day one and I opened it and I got the special edition for it and everything like a I got it the day before it came
out. Like all the expansions and shit are included and whatever else.
Yeah, no, I don't think I bought the season pass, but I bought like the. Like, where you pre-order it. I went the day before it was released. I picked up the day it came out and had, like, extra shit with it. But I haven't actually ever played the game yet. And this is
so
months after it came out.
I played The Witcher 2 a little bit, which I thought it was amazing, but kind of same thing ran into. So I watched for, like, over an hour YouTube videos of people explaining the story in, like, full of Witcher 1 and Witcher 2 to let me grasp on, you know, the characters and what you're doing and all the story and stuff. So I have a full grasp on the first two games, and now I'm playing the third one, and like, it's obviously amazing. It's like I got it because I enjoyed the second one, but also because it's the syndrome of like, well, this is the only game I've seen the past like 2 years that got a fucking 10 out of 10 out of like any place that reviewed it. Like, it just literally got the highest score possible, just like GTA 5 or games like that, where like, you can't ignore that if every single outlet enjoyed this game, I'm probably gonna get something out of it. And the game, the fucking story is like, you know, it's like 50 hours long.
I was going to say, like, the fact that you watched a 1 hour video, like, that's impressive. They really condensed it that much because there's actually videos on YouTube where people spliced out the actual storyline parts and, like, put them together.
And just watch cutscenes? Yeah.
It's like literal, like, 40 hours with the cutscenes between the first couple games that you can just watch all the way through how much story goes through it. But it doesn't feel like that when you're playing. Like, there's definitely cutscenes and videos you're watching, but the story's so good that you're interested in watching. You're not trying to, like, hit the skip buttons and get the fucking back to action.
It seems really, really impressive. So I just wanted to say that. That's all. I'll give you guys more updates later on, but the game's going to take a while to beat, I'm sure. But that's my game right now. Like, otherwise, I have, you know, Forza and other shit like that to just get a couple hours in here and there. But, like, this is the game that if I have a morning where no one's home, or like it's just 8 o'clock. I know I'm not doing it at night. I'm just gonna fucking sit there in like 3 hours, 4 hours. You know,
nice. What else? So I got a board game called Star Wars Rebellion. I think I talked about it last cast. It says games take anywhere from like 3 to 4 to 5 hours, and I'm like, yes, this is gonna be amazing. There's a million pieces. The fucking manual's fucking pretty long, and it's akin to. It's loosely based on a Star Wars game that came out for the PC in the late 90s called Star Wars Rebellion of the same name. Obviously, because it's a board game, they had to change certain aspects, so it's loosely based on it. But pretty much it's kind of like, you know, you have to... The Rebellion has... Obviously, they don't have a lot of forces, you know, ships and troops and all that stuff, so they kind of have to be on the sly and move around, do a lot more diplomacy... And try and have planets, you know, gain their favor. And then the Empire is a lot more just come in, drop some troops, take over, worry about diplomacy later. And I think the whole, like, the objects of the game are the Empire has to find, like, the Rebellion's hidden base. And then the...
It's not on Alderaan.
It's not. Definitely not there. And
them bitches died.
And then I forget what the Imperial... win condition is. But I started watching a video on how to play because, you know, you can only read so much before
you're if you like, see it, you're going to be able to grasp it much faster.
Yeah, so
especially with reading it too, because, yeah, otherwise it might just all just...
And I definitely was not going to play with my girlfriend. She, if the reading of the instructions takes more than 5 minutes, she's already like, oh my god, I don't care, you know? So anyways...
Which actually is probably the majority of people, you know, so whatever.
So I figure we can play it someday, have a board game day, and just
also have some fun. Crack that fucking Pandemic Legacy that I've been sitting
on the
forever.
Pandemic Legacy.
That's going to be super good, too. So
we need to figure out some time to hang out, you know.
I know.
Magic's good, though. Full day Magic days. Yeah, we don't have enough of those days, so it's going to be hard to like fit in a board game.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
we
need to, though.
Besides that, those are like the most exciting presents. Besides that, I got like a Bluetooth speaker because I always listen to podcasts when I'm taking a shower on my way to work or something. And so,
pooping.
And I don't have fucking like any sort of audio interface in my car, you know, so it's just radio. And I'm just like, I don't listen to the radio.
Is garbage.
So, and then,
true white trash, have a fucking speaker system in your car.
So, no, it was white trash because I had the tape deck. Converter to the auxiliary, but my tape deck broke because I broke it. And so anyways, and then I got some Bluetooth headphones and some other cool stuff. Can't really think too much, but yeah, those are the big ones. It was pretty cool. So, but Christmas is not over because I got something for the cast.
Cast presents.
Lovely.
And the other guys are jerks and they didn't get anything.
I commissioned mine as being made.
So,
and
anyways.
Mine is, I just have to figure out what you guys want. I don't know. I don't have
any. I want the socks he has. Deal. Two pairs like him.
So let me just walk.
Three pairs to make him jealous.
Let me just walk over here and grab the presents. It's real cheap stuff. It's no big deal.
He's like getting us like. Don't be hyped. Don't be hyped. Don't be hyped.
And,
but they are wrapped up with a fucking bow and everything.
Well, Crows...
Well, mine isn't. Crows, yours got some sweet Star Wars wrapping, though.
Crows came in yesterday, and I haven't wrapped it, so...
And we're men, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But my girlfriend totally wrapped yours hot sauce. Woohoo! So here, open hot sauce. Open yours first.
Listen to this. Listen to this, listeners.
Oh, that is real paper right there.
Oh my god, what
paper.
The fuck?
This looks pretty
this
fucking 8-bit sweet.
This 8-bit Star Wars t-shirt. Okay, let me see this fucking 8-bit magical
Star Wars
thing.
Christmas t-shirt.
Oh my god, that is fucking amazing.
Not only is it 8-bit Star Wars t-shirt.
Mega Man 8-bit Star Wars t-shirt.
Mega Man 8-bit Star Wars t-shirt.
So yeah, everything looks like Mega Man. It's all the poses of him jumping with the blaster and all that shit like that. That is, thank you very much. That is fucking awesome.
So the whole reason
holy shit, that's cool.
The whole reason I got you guys woo-hoo! Presents, I was looking for t-shirts for my brother because I always get him like a Star Wars t-shirt or something. And I saw that and I was like, I have to get that for hot sauce.
I'm a big Mega Man fan.
Yeah, big Mega Man, big Star Wars.
He frequently makes out with my Joker style Mega Man on my leg, my tattoo. Yeah,
so I was like, well, I have to get him that. And then I was like, well, now I have to get Crow something.
So looks like, looks oh, like- thanks, bud. I appreciate the afterthought.
All right, the game has been stepped up. I will definitely reciprocate, you know?
And so I couldn't really think of anything. I was like, I could get you some cards, or I could get you something. And then I was like, oh, yeah, duh, of course I could get you this. So okay. There is that, my good sir.
There we go. Okay. Fucking some lore book here, Ravnica.
Yeah, so when I got the... I keep telling you about the original Ravnica series books and how awesome they are, and so I have no idea what that is.
There's a bookmark here of Dave Humphreys. Yeah. Apparently he was on the Pro Tour at some point or something. But it's like a creepy pedophile, like half-balding dude that just... I'm scared. Look at his face,
dude. That's a serious book.
He's going to rape me.
Oh, yeah, that is... He's a raper for sure.
Yeah.
But, so anyways, you were talking about how, oh, let me borrow the books after you're done reading them. And I was I'll one-up that. I'll get you the book.
Hey, nice. He's from Vista, California.
Oh, hey. Like that. Dave Humphreys.
Let's look him up.
I'm like, Dave Humphreys.
And those are the presents. Like I said, cool. Not super, you know, expensive.
We
but
appreciate it. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah, but it's, more. You know, it's cool shit.
All right, well, I'm really sorry to you guys. Probably the listeners probably like, yay, but
am I
go,
telling so. You guys what I commissioned or waiting to open it?
Go ahead and tell us now.
Okay, so we've been working on this conspiracy cube. Hot Sauce is getting the sleeves. We're all working on putting the cards together. We still need a box, a cube to actually hold the cards in.
Nice.
So our friend at GNA Collectibles, I happen to be friends with him on Facebook, and noticed that a few weeks ago he has a friend who owns like a wood shop or something but didn't have a nice sign himself. So apparently Greg of GNA Collectibles made him like a, you know, a nice woodwork sign for his shop. So I'm like, we need a fucking sweet cube, and apparently I know somebody knows how to do some woodwork, so I commissioned him to, I gave him artistic freedom, by the way, so we don't know what's happening here. The two things I requested were I want the top of it laser engraved, like our fucking coasters are, of our cast symbol.
Nice.
With me with Lance Kill on top of it, and I also mentioned I preferred to have, like, some kind of like wallpapering on the inside of Charging Badger.
Dude, that is dope, by the way. Wow, this is going to be fucking
it is,
awesome.
That's our cast right there, right? I mean, so after that, I told him, free will. So I imagine there'll be multiple dicks, many other things. I mean, hopefully maybe, you know what, it'd be fucking sweet if he, because he's actually the one who won our cast slogan competition.
Right, right.
It'd be cool if we put that our slogan on there. I just thought of it right cool. now, to be honest, but hopefully he did that.
That would be, know. Dude, this is, wow.
Yeah,
that so, is. Thank you. That is epic.
Well
that is,
played.
That is currently being made. He mentioned to me the other day that you know he's got some glue, the wood glue going on, drawing and this and that. So I'm not sure how far away it is. When I started asking about it, like he's like, "Oh, it won't be ready for Christmas." I asked him like 2 days before. I'm like, "Of course, yeah. I'm not expecting that. I get that." And he's like, "You know, so when do you want it done?" I'm like, "Well, I mean, prefer sooner rather than later, but I understand it's a fucking commissioned piece of work here. Like, you know, whatever happens." He's like, so he starts thinking about it, just gets all excited. He's like, "So I'm thinking like, you know, a month or two or whatever, you know." And he's like, "Oh, I'm already getting so many ideas going and flowing. I'm so excited about this now. And like, I'll probably get it to you by the beginning of the year." I'm like, "Fucking sweet,
nice.
Dude. This is I'm speechless. That's fucking amazing. That's a crazy present. All right, nice. I got to set my game up. I got to go though. So I love you guys a long time. This is really good."
So my mom got me this as a stocking stuffer because she doesn't really know how podcasts work, but she's like, you could use it as like a soundboard for like, you know.
She wants hers in the shock jocks.
Where's the boing?
So, oh wait.
Oh, it's there.
Yeah! No soundboard. It's complete without a fucking boing.
Thanks, Mom. Now I don't have to do any editing. Just straight to this.
Dude. We really sound like Magic and Hash now. That's just what I was thinking too.
Fuck you, Magic and Hash.
Woo! I'm pretty fucking excited about this cube, man.
Yeah.
It should... We've seen other things he's created and other deals. You know, he makes his own like furniture and like shelving units for Magic cards and shit. And I've seen pictures of it. And he does good work. And so, and he's a vulgar motherfucker, like almost worse than us to a point. But like, I don't know, we're on the same kind of wavelength of fucked upness.
Nice.
So putting the the artistic freedom in his hands, I thought was a pretty dangerously good idea. See what happens, but yeah, you know, I think it's gonna be pretty fucking cool.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, give them all our dimensions. We talked about for numbers. That's why I sent that text about how many numbers of cards and this and that and all the jazz, what spacing we wanted. So we should have a fucking pretty sweet cube on the way, man, for a cast cube here.
Nice, nice. Well, that wraps up Christmas. Like I said, we're going to be talking about kind of a end-of-year wrap-up next cast. It's going to coincide with episode 100, which should be amazing, delicious, and great.
Dude, I got the holiday promo of the Thoughts for Pie Network. I got it. Nice. No, not really. So in that Magic Match 3 game, the Magic Puzzle Quest game,
yeah,
as like a holiday promo or whatever thing, they actually handed out that card to everybody.
Nice.
So, but in the game, like the cards in the game are different than the actual like physical cards, like, right? You know, because it's a different style of game goes into it, and the cards like it's a mythic rarity or whatever kind of card, and it's actually pretty fucking good. So I'm like, sweet, that's like every it's a blue card, so. Like, and now every blue deck I play against, every blue planeswalker I play against, like, has that card in it. It's like, nice. Okay, well, it's fucking cool, though.
So, let's go ahead and jump into some Magic talk, which we're just going to be flying off the seat of our pants because we didn't really make any show notes. But what I can tell you right now is that MTG Frontier is a thing 100%. Everyone thought...
Not Wizards officially sanctioned or anything, but it's taken off.
You know, everyone thought, oh, this is the next Tiny Leaders. It's not going to take off. Even everyone who was talking about speculation was saying, you know, it'll be a thing in a couple years. It's not... No reason to spec on it right now. And everybody was wrong. It's a thing right now, and everybody's getting into it. And prices are jumping because of it. In particular, we're looking at Jace Vryn's Prodigy. Obviously, this is a card that sees play in multiple formats. Regardless of Frontier, it should have been on everyone's mind to spec on or to get their playset. But it recently went...
But we fucked up.
But we fucked up.
I still need one more, and goddamn, it's at $50 again.
So I was like, okay, you know, I'll pick some up. They're about, you know, $20. I'll pick a couple up. It'll be fine. But with, you know, the holiday season and spending money on Christmas and,
yep,
and bills and all this stuff, I was like, okay, after the holiday season, I'll pick them up. It'll be great. But it moved so fast. The spike happened so quickly that I didn't have time.
You shat the bed.
Exactly. So... So
this is fantastic.
I know, it's great. So right now it's sitting at $44. Like I said earlier, it was about 20 something, low 20s, if not lower, $18 on TCG Player. And I'm looking at MTG Goldfish right now, and it is $44.37. And looks like it's starting to go down slowly. You know, who knows if this was...
Look, if it hits 30 again, I'm going to have to buy my final one.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, well, you know, the paper one spiked. I'll have some time to get it on MTGO because that's where I'm doing most of my Frontier playtesting. That's where I'm specking. I'm building most of the decks on MTGO. So I was like, you know what? I'll just buy them on there, and I won't be salty about it. And the card was down to about, I don't know, $16-17. And now, currently, on Magic Online, it is about 29 tickets. So, this card, obviously, was never going to stay at that price.
I'm sorry. I had to cut you off for a second. So, the creepy pedophile bookmark that was in this book you gave me, I'm reading the back of it, and I come across his nickname. This man's name is Dave Humphreys. He was known as The Hump. Pedophile galore.
This episode is brought to you by Dave the Hump Humphreys,
straight out of Vista, California,
who was born in June 11th, 1972, from Vista, California.
He won the inaugural 1995 pre-release, which gave him his first invitation to the Pro Tour, and he never looked back since.
Yes, and his Pro Tour debut was in New York, February 1996. So here's looking at you, Dave.
The pedophile Hump Humphreys.
So this is a card that, you know, should have been on everybody's mind. And I think with the speed at which Frontier has become popular, it kind of just forced the price to go up a little early. Not that I'm a finance expert, but a lot of people thought they had more time. And, you know, I should have just jumped in when they were $18, but money wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't available.
Same thing. It's, like, we're going to go, like, you know, I don't have a deck I'm playing this in right now. Like, I should have time. I didn't see Frontier coming. Even Frontier hit, like you said, holiday season. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to hope it doesn't, like, jump right away and it's already up that high. It's like, God damn it. I fucked off again with Jace Vintage Prodigy and not getting to finish the playset.
Yeah, so he's seeing play in Vintage, Frontier, Legacy, and Modern, which is very unfortunate because those are all of the formats he can see play in. And they don't mention Tiny Leaders, but yeah, he's fucking great in Tiny Leaders. So it is very much unfortunate. So keep your eye out. If the price goes back down, I suggest jumping in on him. Anything under 30. Because, I mean, this is the next Snapcaster, you know? I mean, price-wise, this is the next Liliana, price-wise. It has no place to go but up, and there's not going to be an easy place to reprint this because it is a flip card. I would assume they would want to keep it in the cycle. So if they were going to reprint him, they would reprint all of the flip planeswalkers.
Yeah, it'll be like Modern Masters 2022.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. So, yeah, that sucks. You know, it is probably the...
Maybe by then, it might be Frontier Masters by then.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably the card of the format right now. Some other people were talking, and it's like, hey, it's cool to have an expensive Jace in the format because it's kind of like, you know, the Mind Sculptor. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that of this format. And, yeah, it sucks. I wish I would have picked him up earlier. But some other cards are beginning to jump, some staples, mm-hmm. some things like that.
And that's part of when I bought that. I got that gift card for Christmas. I mean, some of the things I bought into. Well, I'm a fan of promos and different things like that. And with the gift card like that, I felt like splurging on some random shit. So I picked up some, like, you know, right now while they're cheap, like some promo staples. Like, you know, a lot of the big creatures in Frontier are five booty toughness kind of deals and the Siege Rhino shit. So Roast is a viable card. So I picked up a playset of the promos of that and some Flaying Tendrils for Katarka Red stuff. So. It's specking, but you know, you start looking at these cards and things that are viable in the format, and it's like, you know, it's tough to like start just buying into cards because you have to spec on it. But it's super shitty to get left behind, and all of a sudden, this card that was 60 cents is now $6, and you're going, "Fuck, this is annoying."
Yeah, I heard on another podcast, I forget which one, they were suggesting maybe buying into a playset or playsets on Magic Online, and then using the redemption to get the cards. And I believe a lot of these sets, the redemption is over when Amon Khet comes out, because the new redemption cycle time doesn't go into effect for these older sets. So I think Magic Origins, and definitely KTK, is still legal. So right now I'm looking on MTG Goldfish and online for, you know, 252 cards. It's about $80. And
that's a one of the entire set.
Yeah, it's a one of the entire set. And the redemption fee is $25, and I think you have to pay, like, for shipping and whatever. So, you know, let's say fucking $110, $120. In paper, the complete value of the set for one of everything is $167. So, in reality, you're making out on this, you know, you're getting these cards for cheaper, and even if you wanted, you could just keep the Jaces or keep some of the staples and then just sell off the rest, and you'd pretty much make your money back. And I also would suggest that for the fetches, if you don't have a complete playset of the fetches.
Which by now you should, because they're only going to keep going up.
That is correct. So here, let's
even take in colors, you don't necessarily play all the time, because there might be that deck that one day you run into and fetches are fucking A. You got to have fetches.
So it's around the same price, or at least the same price difference. A set or a one of each for cons is 63 tokens. Tokens. Tickets. Chuck E. Cheese tokens. And then in paper, it's worth about $148.
Damn, I was looking for the wah wah on the soundboard.
So,
dude, what's the cowboy hat sound?
I'll try it out.
Oh, new favorite.
Yeah, there's a bunch of good ones on here. This is
not a good thing to have.
So if you're
it's just so bad.
If you're looking to spec, these are some pretty sexy specs.
God, we're children.
Yeah, this is gonna detract from the whole podcast.
Yeah, that needs to be thrown in the trash. Like Jumanji, just needs to be buried.
So that's our finance section of the podcast. It would be a good time. I think Almond Kit comes out in March. It's got to be March.
January plus 3 months.
Yeah. So you have a little bit of time to start getting in to the redemptions. So speaking of MTG Frontier, I know we talked about it last cast, but we are just so hard up on this format that we're going to continue to talk about it, and we're going to talk about some of the decks we've made. So we played a game. Actually, last time we met up, we played a couple matches, and Crow just got slaughtered. These are all brews at this point. We don't go on MTG Goldfish and look at the meta staples and all that. We just look at what we have and what
at
we want to play.
Me and you do the brews.
Yeah, well, we'll see what Hot Sauce has
Mr.
to bring.
Spiky.
So why don't you tell the great people what deck you brought to the table and what adjustments you've made since you first brought it to us?
Well, I mean, if you guys listen to the cast at all, you know I love Dimir, just like Knife over here. And from the get-go, my favorite build-around card was the card the community made, Waste Not. I fucking love Waste Not. That was one of the first ever, it was the second standard deck I ever built, first deck I ever took to FNM. I just love Waste Not and doing things with it. So, first iteration of it, trying to, you know, figure out this format and run into it without playing any other games or seeing other decks. The first day I was pretty dissuaded and down, going, fuck. It was like, I spend a lot of time on brewing decks, and typically, I've had this discussion before, like how much time I go through it and tweak before ever actually playing, and how long it takes me to actually brew a deck together. Typically, 9 times out of 10, I play that deck, and I'm pretty happy with it, and like off the bat, like excited, and like see little tweaks to make, but like the games went pretty well, and I'm happy. This was that 1 time out of 10 where I just got utterly butt raped, and it was not fun. it was shellacking all around. I definitely won a game or two. My favorite one was, you know, turn 2 Waste Not, turn 3 Dark Deal into another Dark Deal into 10 zombies on the field and swing for the game kind of deal on turn 4.
Yes, that was
so
pretty gross.
That felt good, but other than that, though, like I got my ass kicked from Nice deck, and then from Hot Sauce's Abzan Panharmonicon deck. And so there was definite tweaking to be had, based on decks I placed against. And like I was playing like no main deck creatures, and you know my win conditions were a little like iffy and whatnot. And so a lot of removal, a lot of counters, a lot of discard type spells. Tweaking it, I've now added Tassigers. Thing in the Ice. One of the main other win conditions too is Liliana the Last Hope, trying to get to the ultimate. Which is hard to depend on a fucking ultimate to be your game winner. But that was my first iteration, hoping that me attacking their hand and how much removal I had, that I would be, you know, it'd be, because she's, you know, overall not that hard to get the ultimate to and go from there with how early she lands on the field, at least in the current standard. Adding those new frontier, things go faster, and it goes back to being more of a faster format. So from there, I've had to adjust. She's still 4 of them in the deck. I think Liliana the Last Hope is still a fantastic card. But now I've added more board sweepers, and I've added Tassigur, and actually last game I played, I had two Thing in the Ice. I added this last game I added Metallurgic Summonings, and that was did quite well for me, so I'm happy with the one over that. There's still tweaking to be done, but after that first day of going, fuck me, this is garbage, I feel much better about this right now. I mean, the deck's got Gyro Reach Sanitariums in there, which is just fantastic with Waste Not, because one of the problems with Waste Not is you get their hand empty, and then next thing you know, you're not getting any more triggers. So they just get their card in the play right away. So like how I combated that the first time when I built it in standard, I played four Master of the Feast, which is the 5/5 flyer for 3 mana, which is another win condition for me in that way. But on each opponent's upkeep, they draw a card. So that would give me more options to make them discard or get more triggers for my Waste Knot. Well, now that's not in Frontier format. So having Gyrie Sanitarium, which is the land, which taps for colorless, or you can pay 2 and tap it, and each player draws and discards a card. So even if they're empty-handed, I'm getting a Waste Knot trigger, be it mana, a zombie, or drawing an extra card. So that's just, even though it's a legendary land, it's a 4 of, because it's that good with the Waste Knot triggers.
It is that important, because that's the one thing that is the downfall for Waste Knot, is once you get their hand empty, since there's no rack in the format, there's no Shrieking Affliction in the format. So once their hand's empty, half your deck is dead, and you kind of don't want their hand to be completely empty, and this kind of shores up that weakness by making them draw and immediately discard, because once they draw it, I don't think there's priority for them to play it. They have to immediately discard it.
So yeah, it's quite helpful. Like I said before, that from there, that's why I was trying to having to figure out and tweak for finding a win condition. Before I had the secondary win condition besides, or main win condition being like Master of the Feast stuff and zombie triggers and Waste Knot triggers. And so I had that damage race and I had the big flyer for big chumping and things like that. Now I just had to tweak and go and realize, I need to add some creatures, I need to figure some things out, go less on some removal, need some more counters, add these creatures, and was able to take down Knife's deck that he's about to talk about, and it went pretty well. I got a couple of board sweeps in the deck here, and felt good against Hot Sauces. He also has a what's that fucking goddamn 11/11, a Metalwork Colossus deck.
Yeah,
he has an artifact cocksucker deck, and granted his draws weren't the best, but neither were mine overall. But it just, my deck was working together well, and using the triggers with Liliana to get Tasker back and be able to cast him off the freaking her, also milling the two and getting back on the field and all the different little extra abilities and things going on. It just added so much more sustainability to the Waste Knot deck, where Waste Knot can peter out when you can't make them discard, you can't do these extra little things, and you're just sitting there going fuck, I need something to happen. Now there's other ways. So I think that there's still needs to be tweaking to be done. It's still not going to be a tier one deck. It's never going to be a tier one deck. But it's my favorite build around card, and it's a lot of fun to get these crazy triggers happen.
I think that the deck needs a solid finisher. I mean, granted, we're seeing things like Tasiger in there. It's really good for the deck. What was the other?
Thing in the Ice.
Thing in the Ice.
I'm playing two of right now. Out of 36 playables, I think 29 are creatures. Maybe a little less. 26 are creatures. Not creatures, I mean. 26 are spells. So that helps easier to flip the thing in the ice.
I think we still need a rack effect to make this deck competitive. Because it's still good. It's still competitive. But just to get to that late game, because you're going through your deck pretty easily with all these triggers, and to be able to just cycle through until you can find a Shrieking Affliction or a rack effect would just be game over.
Like you said, I'm able to cycle through pretty good. My hand size is never very large either, because I'm also dark dealing, which also makes me discard and whatnot too, and I'm playing spells. But I'm able to cycle through pretty easily, to the point where I was looking at cards to take out for tweaking to bring more creatures in. I originally was playing 3 Treasure Crews in the deck with all the cards going to the graveyard and things, and I was like, you know what? I took out 2 of those and added the Tasiger and added Metallurgic Summonings, which has actually worked pretty well this last game I played. And so, it came down to it, I'm delving away enough things with other things like Murderous Cut and Tasiger and I'm cycling through enough that I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to have 1 Treasure Crew still in there, because at that whatever point, drawing 3 cards is always going to be great. But, like you said, I'm cycling so much that I'm going to find the cards I need. And that's how, since this last tweak, that's how it worked. It worked much better than my original build.
Right on. Yeah, it seemed to work a hell of a lot better. And there's some consistency there and some holes filled that need to be filled.
Yeah, and there's still going to be tweaking to be done. But I feel much better about it now. I was honestly pretty down about my first build with it. I was bummed.
There was literal butthurt on his face.
Full on.
Like not even butthurt, because he wasn't even angry. He was just bummed about it.
Yeah, it was so much worse. I love Wasteland so much, and to see it utterly fail so bad that first time, I was like, can I even tweak this to be anything good? I was really bummed about it. I love Wasteland. And now I'm way more excited about it, getting there with it. It would be fantastic for them to fucking finally print some kind of other discard help, like Shrieking Affliction or Rack type of thing again. I'd love it. I mean, come on. We're going to Machnet. Egyptian had torturing shit. Bring me the Rack. Reprint it. Come on, Wizards.
Come on. So I'm going to talk about my deck that I brewed up pretty much. It was the night before we were supposed to meet up. And, you know, they were harassing me about building the Frontier deck. And
harassing you? You got us into the format, motherfucker.
Yeah, but...
Oh, yeah. That's, you got us into the format, but we built our decks before you did.
I was building my decks on MTGO. So I actually have a bunch of decks on MTGO. Ooh. But I had none in paper, so they were really harassing me to get me to build something in paper so we could play. So I was trying to look at what I have, and, you know, I knew that from my testing on Magic Online that the Wastenaut deck had some problems. I was still trying to figure it out, so I didn't really want to build that right off the bat. And some of the other decks I didn't have the cards for, so I was looking through my collection, and I remembered one of my favorite decks to play was during the Khans of Tarkir block. It was Mardu. Mardu, good stuff. So I started looking at all the cards I could play, looking at some of the synergies that were had and some of the new cards that had come out. So I came up with a little deck. It's called Mardu Good Stuff. So I'm running 4 Bloodsoak Champions.
No surprise there.
No surprise.
In any deck you're going to like build around, like most of the time you have some form of recursion.
Yeah, I just can't. It's in my blood to bring stuff back from the graveyard. And this, I just also love this card. It's a great card.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that card too.
The raid trigger is pay 1 and a black, return it to the battlefield. Only if you attack with the creature, of course.
Dude, remember my aristocrat style deck?
Yes.
Dude, that was so much fun to be able to attack with him, sack him. There was a trigger in there where I was able to attack with him, sack him, and then continue to like raid trigger him back in on that same trigger with mana open to continue to just burn you a bunch of life down.
It was
with Nantuko Husk.
Yeah.
So able to sack Nantuko Husk, sack him to Nantuko, get him bigger, and while still raid trigger, so I can get like fucking 3 triggers of like life loss with the other fucking, you know, shit on there. It was a lot of fun, so I'm a big fan of the card, too.
It was pretty sexy. So, I'm running 4 of this card, and granted, most of my strategies are graveyard strategies, but I just can't bring myself to play this card in any other deck, and I'm talking about Scrap Heap Scrounger. It's not in me to exile stuff out of the graveyard to bring another guy back. So, like, in my zombie build and everything else, every creature in the deck is meant to be put back on the battlefield. So I don't want to exile any creatures. In this deck, there's very little creatures that are coming back from the graveyard, so I don't mind exiling them away. So I'm running...
It's really just this guy and Bloodsoaked, right?
It's this guy and Bloodsoaked, and you'll see why I need recursion later in the deck, but a 3-2 that attacks and just comes back all the time is pretty much a pain in the ass. I'm also running 2 Olivia Mobilize for War. Now, I wasn't too keen on this card. I was like, you know, this might be a little too cute, and I don't really know if I need this. This card is overperformed. I'm only running 2, and I don't think I want to change that number, but this card is fucking glorious in this deck.
Every game you've played her at least once or twice.
Yeah.
And in every game. Like, you run into her every game. It's like, fuck you.
So this deck is... I mean, it's, I guess you could call it like a mid-range deck, but it feels very aggro.
Yeah, definitely feels aggro.
Definitely feels aggro. So, you know, she's just a 3-3 flyer, but whenever another creature enters the battlefield, that is the key, because I can trigger this for the Scrap Heap Scrounger or the Bloodsoaked Champion. It's not a cast trigger. It's when they enter the battlefield. So I can discard a card when they enter the battlefield, and they get haste and +1/+1, and they're a vampire. Great card, And also just great having flyers in the format. There's not a whole bunch of flyers, at least what I'm seeing. So it's great to have her in the deck. I love it. I have two deck lists, one in paper and one online. And the one I'm running online, I think only plays, let's see, have it right in front of me here. Yeah, it's only playing two, and in my paper list, I'm only playing one. I'm still playtesting Law of the Numbers, but Crackling Doom, one of the best fucking cards in the format.
I know you're mostly creatures, but like, I don't know, for me, whenever I can play a playset of Crackling Doom, I'm playing a playset of Crackling Doom. It's, that card is so fucking good.
It gets around a lot of stuff, and also, oh, nice spaghetti monster.
Yeah.
Sacrifice that shit, and two to your face.
Let me ball tap you too real quick.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really glad that it gets, why can't I think of the fucking name? Emrakul. It gets Emrakul.
You said Spaghetti Monster. I think everybody understands.
Yeah, Spaghetti Monster. It gets that, and it's just doing that extra little bit of damage that sometimes I can't get through.
My favorite part of it is the one you're playing, this foil Crackling Doom that you're playing, was your Christmas present from me last year.
Yes, yes. This was a Christmas present from Crow, and now I'm owning him with it.
Well, that's not true, because I don't play creatures. And every time we played against it, you use it to discard Olivia.
Yeah, exactly. Or I sideboard it out. I'm also running mainboard Transgress the Mind. I think this card is amazing in this format. To me, it is the new Thoughtseize. Granted, it's two, and it can only hit three or above. So unless you're running into an aggro deck, this card just hits every time. And when it hits hard.
Yeah, and honestly, if you look at the different like MTG Goldfish, like Frontier top decks and all that shit, the Autarka Reds aren't like running rampant. There's a lot of quality bigger creatures, so the format feels larger.
It feels very mid-range.
Yeah, it feels definitely mid-range, which then leads into large creatures getting cheated in and big shit happening. So, like, there's obviously a Tarka Red's a fucking deck. I mean, come on. It's obviously a deck. But it feels like the most shit you're going to see around there is going to be mid-range type of stuff. So that Transgress the Mind, yeah, I agree with you. It's fantastic.
This feels like a Jund deck. You know what I mean? Yeah. It feels very value and disrupt the hand, some removal, and then just beat your face in.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to me. Speaking of beating face, running four Goblin Rabble Master. Hey, remember how great he was in Standard? Yeah, he's still pretty fucking great.
Yeah.
That's
a card, like, for me, he's only like 250, 280 right now.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, like, of this format going to be, continuing bigger, like, that card is too good. And you saw how fantastic it played out and how good it was. If I'm looking at finance stuff, like I already have my playset. I loved playing them, too. I played Mardu also. It was the first deck I ever built was Mardu Goblins and whatnot and shit like that. For me, if you're looking at things to like grab now while it's cheap, like that's a card that so far hasn't spiked, but I feel like it's going to.
That could easily be a $10 card.
Yeah. I mean, throughout the whole Standard, it was $10, $15 the whole time. I think it was $15 the whole time, I think.
Yeah, it went up even higher, I think, for a little bit. But yeah, Goblin Rabble Master... It was great then. It's great now. It's great in this format. It's great in a mid-range deck. It's great in an aggro deck. Even some sort of red-blue tempo deck. It's fucking amazing.
It's a card where no matter what you're fucking doing, and if you're playing red, even though his deck is more of a mid-range, it does feel more aggro. It's a card that, if it's not answered, will straight win you the game on its own back. I can't tell you how many games I've won just based on they don't have removal for Goblin Rabble Master, and I'm able to win three turns later. And just from just beating face with him, going like, okay, well, you only have this one guy to chump block him, well, I'm going to remove him. Now you're going to hit for six from him plus the other fucking goblins. Like, it can steal you the game.
It needs to be answered right away.
Yeah, it's stupid good.
And it synergizes quite well with this next card, which... When this card came out, I was like, I love this card.
Yeah, all about it, too.
It never saw... It saw, like, a second of play, I think, right before the Pro Tour. Yeah, it saw a cunt hair of play, and then it just never saw any play after that. It's Butcher of the Horde. It's a 5/4 flying demon for one in Mardu.
So good.
Sacrifice another creature. It gains your choice of Vigilance, Lifelink, or Haste until end of turn. Guess what, Goblin Rabble Master? It triggers the token to come on the battlefield. At the beginning of combat, and then I can sacrifice it to give this guy usually haste or lifelink. I don't think there's been a time where I've given him vigilance, but it's also 5/4 flyer to block with. Ain't too fucking bad. So this guy...
There was times back when I had that Mardu deck where I had enough goblins to go from Battlemaster Go, and then they finally get like chump lock walls. Okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and play Butcher and sack three goblins and get all effects here and go bring it on.
So this is the card that makes it feel very aggro like. Mm. Well, this and Rabblemaster. Although the Scrap Heap and the Blood Soaked are a little bit slower. It's more of a slow, grindy recursion engine.
But they're so perfect to sack to him and then bring back on your next end step.
Exactly. So they're perfect to sack to him. I'm definitely running four of. Probably my favorite card in the entire deck is playing him. I'm also playing a non-zero amount of Fleshbag Marauders.
You said non-zero amount.
I haven't decided on the number, but like I said, this deck doesn't really mind exiling other creatures out of the graveyard to get Scrap Heap Scrounger back. So having Fleshbag just come in and kill off a goblin to have him stay, or just sacrifice himself, it's still... It's still value because it's not the cards.
It's like the card says three mana, kill a creature and bring a creature back. Like
the card
in this deck.
It's not taking up a slot in the deck of just a removal spell. It's not just a murder. Granted, murder is concise and you can direct it at whatever you want. Targeted. This is sacrifice. So you know, God forbid they're playing tokens, they can sacrifice whatever they want. It just feels good to have this in the deck. I'm running three of, so I'm not really sure what that number is going to look like after playtesting.
The other good part of that, because like you said, like tokens, like sure, it's shit against tokens.
Right.
But because your deck has that aggro feel to it, like they're chump blocking from the get. So they're using their small guys to chump block, then suddenly you drop this. Most of the time, they're not going to have like just one sitting there. Like,
exactly.
They're going to have to sack something they don't want to sack. It does play very well in your deck.
Yeah, so Blood Soaked, attack in, they trade, don't care. Oh, Scrap Heap, attacks in, trade, don't care. Oh, you actually play something that will help you stabilize, guess what, Flesh Bag, you know, you're done. And then I can get my Scrap Heap and Blood Soaked back. It's ridiculous. I really enjoy it.
Goddamn ridiculous.
Goddamn ridiculous. Also, this is the Lightning Bolt of the format, which is Lightning Strike. Lightning
Bolt Strike. Ho.
So definitely jamming four of these. Not sure. I'm running in any red deck. They're going in the main deck, but definitely four of in the main or the sideboard.
Jelly and jam. That's what I thought of instantly. I'm jamming four of these. Okay.
So Lightning Strike, it's amazing. It deals with, guess what? It deals with Rabble Masters reliably. It deals with a lot of the lower end stuff that would let them gain momentum in the early game. And I love it. And it can also go to the face. So
and the Planeswalkers.
What's that?
And hit Planeswalkers.
And it hits Planeswalkers. Speaking of Planeswalkers, I'm running a one of Sorin Solemn Visitor. It's just, well, for one, I just own
only
one copy.
You only own one, yeah.
And I thought I'd throw it in here. And two, it's nice to give everything plus one, plus O, and lifelink. So my Blood Soaks, my Scrap Heaps are a little bit more valued now. It's a 3-1 with lifelink and a 4-2 with lifelink. It can trade a lot more profitably. It can get me back from the late game, or I can just make a token.
The other part of that for me is, like, honestly, I think you should get a second one in there, I would say, because from there, while you're aggressive, you're also not blocking very much. Both Blood Soaked and Scrap Heap cannot block,
right,
first off. So from there, you're also not wanting to block the Rattlemaster. You're not wanting to jump with that. If you get the Butcher of the Horde out, you're probably attacking with it. You're trying to get that damage across. So from there, like, it just, you're able to get your life total goes down pretty quickly yourself, too, because you're really not caring about blocking. You're trying to race.
Right.
Throwing lifelink on these bitches is just stupid. Like the game you had against me... Yeah, I mean, it was against the first version of Wasteland, whatever was going on, but it was like, it became very valuable because that game was actually doing well and actually had zombies on the field and things to attack you with. I was getting your life down. Suddenly you drop Soren and you got a few creatures on the field. I'm like, oh, well, fuck me. There goes my chance of winning. God damn it. So, like, I honestly think you should probably at least get a second one in there. I know you only own the one, but I feel like it's pretty damn good in your deck. And, like, having that little bit of lifelink stabilizing was pretty fucking good in there, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I don't have one online, but I think at least a one of in the main or the sideboard is what I want to do. I still have to play around with the numbers, but along with Butcher of the Horde gaining me life, this can also kind of bring me back and help my lower guys trade at least. And last but not least, we have Wingmate Rock. Like I said, Or like Crow said, I'm going to be always attacking, regardless if, you know, they get chumped or whatever. I'm always attacking. So I've never cast this without the raid trigger, and the raid trigger happens all the time. It's really easy to get. And flyers in this format seem to be, like I said earlier, not super existent right now.
Well, think about it. Like, especially Construct Hero Block, and it feels like a lot of Frontier is viably using a lot of cards starting from that point and going from there, and like a lot of bigger creatures and things going on. Like, it feels like the standard cards and what's going on right now aren't seeing as much play as like going back a little bit. And so I forget what I was talking about.
Well, it's just there's not a lot of flyers.
Oh, the flyer. Okay, thank you, the flyer. So from there, just how Wingmate Rock was fantastic in that standard because there wasn't a lot of other good flyers going around. The fact that it brings out 2, 3, 4 flying birds that also can gain new life, it is a pain in the ass to deal with. If you don't have a board sweeper, it becomes a dick hair. And like, there's not a lot of other flyers yourselves are just chump block or whatever with. So flyers do feel pretty fucking powerful right now.
Yeah, and even the flyers that are being played, they just chump. They can't trade with Wingmate Rock. Yeah, so.
4 booties, tough.
Yeah. Everything in this deck dies to Languish, though. So I will tell you that is this deck's weakness.
Which happens to be a 2 of main board in my Waste Not deck. So, feels pretty good wiping out 2 Butchers and Rival Master and a bunch of that shit you got on your board going, fuck, I'm about to lose. Oh, top deck, Languish. Yeah, I'm back in the game.
So the sideboard, I was listening to a podcast, or maybe I was reading an article, I forget. I've been trying to do a lot of research about the format. So I was reading about good sideboard cards and all this. I already found out for myself that Smash to Smithereens is at least a 3 of in this meta right now. Smash to Smithereens is 1 in a red, instant, destroy target artifact, and it deals 3 damage to target artifact's controller. I mean, artifacts are a thing card in this format. Panharmonicon, there's a couple decks that run 4 Panharmonicons, the Elves deck and the Abzan deck. There's also, the Metalwork Colossus and the Insole Artifact decks are ridiculous. I know the Insole Artifacts is doing a lot of work in the tournaments that I'm seeing reports for. So it's very important to have that. Running 2 Erase, just instant exile target enchantment, especially the Jeskai Tokens deck. Mm. Oh my gosh, is that a deck? And that deck is hard to race. It is fucking difficult. And to, you know, have them play that and then...
That deck is hard.
It's just sturdy and I'm just beating it. And so I decided recently to add 2 of those in there. There's probably a better choice, but for 1 mana, it's hard to beat that.
And exiling. I can't really go wrong with that.
Yeah, it's nice. Obviously, we got 3 Duress. An extra Transgress in the board, 2 Infinite Obliteration. There's a couple different instances where this can come into play.
Get rid of that win con.
One being the Metalwork Colossus. Yeah. That deck is a pain in the ass. It can squirt a bunch of them out like nobody's business.
It's insane that because of all the non-creature artifacts that make it cheaper, it can just sit there and go, oh, it costs 0. I can just Sanctum of Mugen, and fucking play 3 or 4 of them in 1 turn. Like, Hot Sauce has done this multiple times. It isn't a fucking rarity. He's able to multiple times play 2 or 3 of them on a turn. And it's stupid.
And even if you get rid of him, he can fucking sack some artifacts, get it back into his hand. Yeah, it's really bad. So 2 of those, and then there's 2 other cards in the format that are just... I haven't ran into an instance where I need them, but I think just based on the metagame and the cards in the format. One of them is Tormod's Crypt.
Mm-hmm.
For the Rally decks, for the Delirium decks, for what's that red burn spell? That when you cast a Eldrazi, it fucking comes back.
Oh, Kozilek's Return.
Yes, it's good for Kozilek's Return also, because that is also a very lethal card to this deck. So you can wipe that out. And then Phyrexian Revoker. He is the pithing needle of this format.
I feel like it's overlooked.
It is overlooked.
That's a card I've also thrown in the sideboards right away.
Yeah. When it enters the battlefield, name an online card. Activated abilities of sources with the chosen name can't be activated. It's a 2-1. and it's colorless, so any deck can play it.
I've always felt like that card was undervalued. Like it was, granted, it's easier to kill than an artifact because it's a creature, but the fact that it can do a Pith and Needle effect and like do damage or chump block if need be, like I just feel like it's a damn good card that has not seen enough play overall in formats that it could see play in.
Yeah, and I think this is the format where it's going to see the most play. And it's just, I mean, it's an answer to a lot of stuff. Planeswalkers, a lot of stuff.
Panharmonicon.
Well, its activated ability is not triggered. Unfortunately.
See if you catch it.
And I guess we'll talk about this one deck real quick. I don't want to bore you guys just listing off cards. But this is Jeskai Control. It's a deck that I played during Standard that was super fun to play, and now there's just this much more tools for it to succeed.
So before you get into this deck, like, can we talk about the two cards that are, like, for me, I find it kind of funny, because we talked about it before, how me and you love Dimir so much, and we have so many like-minded styles of wanting how we play things, and it's funny that it even translated over to a deck that's nowhere near Dimir style, or different things, other than, like, it can be control and whatnot, but I mean, like, it's base white, and that's not us at all. And for us, like, when these cards came out, they didn't see a whole lot of overall play, which we were both very surprised by. Like, Myth Realize is one of the cards, and starting to see some more modern play and things like that. But the other card is Ojotai's Exemplars. Both cards are fucking fantastic control cards that we're both, like, super high on. I just find it funny that it's completely outside of a typical thing we'd be looking at and going, what the fuck? But yet we're both on that same page of going, what the fuck? These are amazing.
I've never seen anybody play Ojotai's Exemplars when it was in Standard.
Well, I did.
In Frontier. I just never saw it. And especially, I think I saw a couple Myth Realized decks. But Ojotai's Exemplars, let's just talk about it real fast because you might not know what the fuck it is. It's 2WW for a 4/4 human monk. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, choose one. Tap target creature. Or this thing gains first strike and lifelink until end of turn. Or exile it and return to the battlefield under its owner's control. So it's very versatile, depending on what you want to do. And let's take a look at Myth Realized. For a single white, it's an enchantment. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put a lore counter on it. Pay 2 and a white, put a lore counter on it. Or pay a single white until end of turn. It becomes a monk avatar creature, in addition to its other types. And it gains power and toughness equal to the number of lore counters on it. So
real quick, the Exemplars, what's the second ability again? It's tap, flicker, and
First strike and lifelink.
Okay, for him, yeah. Yeah, see, for me, I used him, and I had a Jeskai's Hennessy Tokens deck, and I used him to help tap down barrier guys to get around. I also used him for the lifelink stuff. Like, I don't know, I found the guy to be very good, and it wasn't even just control I was playing him in, too. I was doing aggressive shit. And it worked very well with that, too.
So I think more often than not, I'd use the First Strike and Lifelink.
Yeah.
When Crow came over earlier, before Hot Sauce got here, I was playing online. And I had, like, I was up to, like, 40 or 50 life. And my opponent was down to 8 just because of all the triggers of Ojotai's Exemplars and other such cards we will get to shortly. I'm also running 4 Seeker of the Way. Now, this card, I'm not too high on in the deck. I do think there needs to be some sort of pressure earlier in the game. But I'm not sure what to put there. I'm running 4. And I'm not big on 4. If I had to go down, I wouldn't be like sad about it.
If you found something else that fit your deck better, good, fine. But Seeker of the Way was a staple the whole way through that Standard. The card is very good.
Yeah, so it has prowess, and whenever you cast non-creature spell, gains lifelink till end of turn. The lifelink is a running theme in the deck because it is a control deck. I'm trying to get to the late game because my late game will be way better than your late game in the deck. So as for non-creature spells, we got Anticipates,
mm-hmm.
which it just slots into this deck super
that,
well.
That card selection, though.
2 main board negates. Because this deck needs to protect itself, and this is a way to do that. 4 Lightning Strike, because like I said earlier, it's a fucking staple of the format. It is the lightning bolt of the format. And we have 2 Mantis Riders. I only put 2 because this deck isn't very creature heavy. I could see going down on a Seeker and throwing in a Mantis Rider in there, but it's just great to have haste and vigilance. And like we said earlier, The flying is a big deal in this format, and it rarely gets blocked. In the four-drop slot, we got two exemplars. I have a Dovin Bond and a Narset Transcendent. The Dovin Bond is just to mess around with. I'm just testing it. It's probably...
It was under a ticket on MTGO.
Yeah, it's under a ticket. So if you think it's going to do anything in the future, go ahead and pick those up now. More than likely, I want two Narsets. I only have one at the moment. Another...
Talk about a card that is amazing that didn't see enough fucking love. My God.
I was telling Crow earlier that I feel like the power level of this card is recognized. There was just never a place for it in Standard or any other format. So in a control deck, it shines. And this next card is also a reason why I'm running for Seeker of the Ways. It's Ojutai's Command. For two, a white and a blue. It's an instant. Choose two. Return target creature with converted mana cost two or less from the graveyard to the battlefield. Or you gain four life. Or counter target creature spell or draw a card.
Especially with that card. Talk about a deck that would love to have Jace Friend's Prodigy.
Yes, I did run Jace Friend's Prodigy, I think, when I was using the beta.
Mm-hmm.
May or may not have been using allegedly. The beta. Yeah, Jace is really good in this deck, but I feel like it needs to be a little bit more attack oriented, a little bit
which
more
I understood,
pressure.
But like that was one of the biggest things to do. That's why the Ojutai's Command actually saw play in control decks because you were able to bring back Jace Friend's Prodigy, and then late game, you know, bringing Jace back and gaining four life just stabilizes you and then gets you back into this fucking you got a looting effect into a planeswalker, which nullifies a creature, which flashes back whatever the fuck you need to do to take care of shit. It's just very good with, like, talk about two cards, like, built to go together.
Yeah.
Like, it's fantastic with fucking Ojutai's Command. Jace, that is.
So, Board Wipe came along, and when it came out, I immediately thought about putting it in this deck, and that was even really before, like, Frontier was a thing, is Fumigate. Three white, destroy all creatures. You gain one life for each creature destroyed this way.
Fantastic card.
Oh, this is just built for this deck. I love it. And I'm running a one of Cloud Blazer, which is three white and a blue. When it enters the battlefield, you gain two life and draw two cards. It's a 2/2 flyer. Like I said, flyers are good, but also drawing cards and gaining life is great. And then last but not...
Drop a Seeker, add one more of those bad boys.
Yeah, actually, that's not too bad. And then we're running three Treasure Crews. One Dig Through Time, and one Ugin the Spirit Dragon, just because, fuck it, why not? I have him on here, and I get to late game super easy.
Ugin's fucking, God, he's so good.
Yeah. And then in the board...
My favorite card to play against Jace, against Hot Sauce, because he just, no matter what deck he seems to be playing, when I play a ramp deck that has Ugin, I just rape him so hard, and it feels so good. No lube, just him crying and salty the whole time. It's fantastic.
It's pretty amazing.
It's my favorite.
So, quickly go through the sideboard. I got three Authority of the Councils. Just creatures your opponent control enter the battlefield tapped. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under an opponent's control, you gain one life. Haven't boarded it in yet. It sounded like a good idea. We'll see.
Yeah, but if you didn't have all these other lifelink things happening, that sounds great against aggro stuff and things you need to gain life against. But your deck's already so well built to gain life that it almost feels like even against an Atarka Red, you're already gaining a lot of life that might not be necessary.
True. I can see taking those out.
But at the same time, if you're going against Atarka Red, they're playing haste creatures, so maybe you want them coming in tapped. I don't know. I think three might be heavy, especially with how much life you already gain.
Right. And also they're doing the... fuck, you know, where they play it and then it goes back to their hand?
Dash.
Yeah, dash. So, we'll see. I haven't really run into too many aggro decks. I've run into, like, mono-white, weenie deck.
That's what I'm saying. Like, right now, it feels like it's not a format where there's a bunch of fucking super fast aggro decks going on. It feels like it's more of a mid-range format.
Yeah.
Which I prefer, personally, overall. I mean, none of us here play the fucking Atarka Red bullshit. The non-thinking, you know, whatever crap. All the shit that's always been said, whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And then we also have two dispels, two negates. Super glad dispels in the format. I think if you're running a blue deck, especially control deck, it needs to be in the sideboard. Once again, we have Smash to Smithereens. We got a couple roasts and then some fiery impulse just for early removal. And that's the deck, and I'm super...
Seems fun. Seems good.
This is the deck that gets the most salt. When I was running it in Standard, it got the most salt out of players.
Who the fuck plays that janky-ass piece of shit Mithrilize?
Yeah.
The card's so good. People are like, oh my god, dropping that turn one and playing fucking 7 to 10 spells over the next few turns, like, fuck you, you're gonna die.
And just like fumigating and then attacking in with a 5/5 Mithrilize, it feels really
gross.
Good. Yeah. So that's my control deck of the format. Obviously, a lot of these numbers are going to change, and with more cards coming out, and really taking a look at the meta, I really only have Magic Online to play against, because the decks we're building probably aren't big meta staples. You know, we like to play the tier 2, tier 3 decks, so won't get too much...
Actual meta testing. Powerful, though, I mean. But,
yeah, our decks are powerful, sure. But we'll get too much meta testing. So we'll see how these numbers fill out and see if...
You need to build more paper, though, because like, I already have plans to build ramp. And I was the one that played Jeskai tokens in that standard of our group.
Yeah.
And I plan on doing it again. Like, that was a good time, and now I got better cards to go into it, too, and another brew for it. So I'm pretty excited to play that fucking Ascendancy tokens. It's all kinds of math confusing and fun.
So next we can talk about a little experiment me and Hot Sauce had. Crow was supposed to join us, but he's a big fat bitch in the whole wide world.
Or I worked and I happened to pass out and I apparently needed to catch him on sleep and didn't wake up till it was too late.
So me and Hot Sauce, I went over to his house and we made passionate love. And then after we wiped the sweat dripping from our beards.
Did you guys come on a pony and boil it?
We decided to do a...
Why our come together?
We decided to do a flashback draft of M14. For anybody who knows the cast, we started playing during Gatecrash and we didn't start drafting until M14. Myself specifically, I did, I don't even know, like 50 M14 drafts on Magic Online, and it was a very simple format, it was very fun, and we haven't played it in a while, so we decided to hop on stream and play it on the If Lands Could Kill Twitch channel, which we rarely use, but when we do, it's amazing. Unfortunately, it wasn't amazing because we ended up going... it was single elimination draft, and me and Hot Sauce both went out the first game. I think Hot Sauce, I'm not exactly sure what he drafted, but I drafted a blue-red kind of tempo-y sort of deck. My pack one, pick one was Chandra, and I remember having good times with M14 Chandra back in the day. M14 was very blue heavy. Blue was one of the best colors in the set. It also had opportunities, divinations, and just a whole bunch of fun control. So I was able to draft that, and it felt like nobody like remembered that was a thing. So I was able to pick up on a lot of the blue cards. And I actually bring the list up right now. So
basically, you thought going into match one, you were hot shit.
Oh, yeah. I thought fucking...
And not so much.
Not so much. So, you know, I got a shock, a disperse, some essence scatters, negate, one young pyromancer.
Oh, there you go.
Divination, time ebb, cancel, claustrophobia. So I was like, dude, that's a lot of fucking control. That's pretty good.
Sounds good to me.
Scroll Thief, Trained Condor. If anybody remembers that little combo, you attack in and you give your Scroll Thief flying with Trained Condor and you get to draw a card. Wall of Frost, two Regathan Firecats.
What'd you say to me?
It's a 4/1 for 3, which is all the rage. an Archaeomancer, Chandra, Marauding Maulhorn, Canyon Minotaurs, an Air Servant, a Lava Axe, a Pitchburn Devils, and I was able to draft two opportunities, which I only ended up playing one because my creature count was a little low. Yeah, and I just got fucking...
What is that card? What is Opportunity? I don't know the card.
Opportunity is 4 blue-blue. It's an instant. Target player draws 4 cards.
Okay.
It is pretty crazy in the format. I remember there was a draft strategy where all you did, you played like little to no creatures, you just drew cards, had all the control, all the removal, and then you played, what's that one artifact you guys play against my mill deck all the time?
Elixir of Immortality.
Yes, and you play Elixir of Immortality. So you just draw your whole fucking deck, and basically... It's a mill deck, but it's a shitty mill deck because you just wait for them to draw their whole fucking deck. So it literally takes, you know, like 50 turns.
That sounds horrible, though.
Yeah, it was a fucking deck. And this...
God.
M14 was one of the slowest formats. I don't think there's been a format as slow as this format since then. I remember a lot of people talking about that. It was very glacial. And since blue was
big words. Woo,
and since blue was so prevalent,
yeah, that was like a little combination of big word and adding blue as the factor in there.
Yeah, a little sneaky. So blue is very prevalent in the format. Thought I could get away with it, but I got stomped, and I don't remember actually what deck took me out. But it wasn't locked out,
huh? Is that bad?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was I think it was a red green deck, and
I was gonna guess Gruul.
I got I got like some creature out there, and then I got Chandra out there, and I was like, I'm just gonna fucking plus up until I can ultimate her, and then the ultimate is -7, exile the top 10 cards of your library, choose an instant or sorcery card exiled this way and copy it 3 times. You cast it without paying their mana cost. So my deck was kind of, I was like halfway through drawing my deck. And I was like, okay, if I could ultimate her, I could probably hit Lava Axe and then just to the face.
Yeah.
And Lava Axe is 5 damage. And then
To the face!
And then the dude had one creature out and he played Enlarge on it, which is +7/+7.
Viagra gives for it, a creature.
And gives it Trample. And he was just able to take out my creature and... the Chandra, and that was just, I couldn't come back after that. But we did have some people watching, and big fan Tom Porter was watching us and talking to us as we played, and he ended up donating some cards, but more importantly, 2 Shadows Over Innistrad packs and 4 Eldritch Moon packs. So we can stream once more.
Okay.
So, that's going to be coming up here shortly. Cool Maybe deal. We can do the same thing where, Hot Sauce he's not very streamlined. Oh!
Hey.
He doesn't really know, how to edit everything together so it looks nice for the viewer. But we were on, webcam, and for some reason I couldn't get my laptop to stream. So anyways, it was just fun to be in the same room and to fuck around. So that was fun, and look forward to some more fucking dogs. Look forward to some more streams in the future. Also, shout out to our listener, Runefister. Fifster.
Yeah, that fucking name.
But
Fifstar?
But the Fifster, I've been putting it out there on Twitter, and I don't think I've mentioned it too much on the cast, but I have over $100 on Puka Trade, and I'm just trying to get some Frontier staples. So, Mr. Fister, it made me laugh.
Stupid. We heard you, that made you laugh.
He was kind enough to send some Frontier staples my way. So if you are so inclined to do so as well, look up Knife City on Puka Trade. And I'm looking for paper Frontier cards, MTGO Frontier cards, anything. And even if you have some Lilianas or some Bobs available, I'm looking for those as well. Shameless plug, but... I want
but
those fucking cards.
You have cards in there for a hot minute, and it'd be nice if somebody sent you shit.
Yeah, it'd be nice to actually get some cards.
You're giving him a shout out because he sent you some cards.
Yeah. He hooked me up with some cards, so I still got bunch of points on there. And shout out to Zuby as well. He sent me some cards. So good on you, gentlemen.
Oh, dear list. I'm like, I have those cards. I don't play them. Fuck knife.
So what else do we have to talk about this evening?
Ooh, well, we can talk about the masterpiece if you'd like, but really, you know, those are all reprints minus the two new ones. We can probably go over those. Well, let me give you my one gripe here. My one gripe with the fucking masterpieces is they just fucking just unbanned Black Vise, which doesn't even see much play, and they gave that a fucking masterpiece. And then on the same along those lines, they didn't give us the rack. Fuck you. Give me the fucking rack masterpiece. I'm so bummed that they didn't give me a fucking masterpiece for printing of that. Because I would have bought it fucking instantly. Like, whatever price they're asking for it. I didn't give a shit. I would have bought that.
So we are talking about Aether Revolt masterpieces.
Fucking, it's a fail. There's no rack.
Instead of going through every fucking one like we did last time, Hot Sauce insisted we go through every one. We'll just talk about some notable ones.
Okay, so my favorite one here, I was talking to Greg on GAA Collectibles about this when we were talking about doing the cube. He's like, I told him how pissed I was they didn't make it into the rack. He's like, yeah, and they made a fucking Ornithopter. I was like, he's all getting all pissed off. I told him, like, honestly, man, that's like it's probably my favorite one on there because I feel like it was like Morrow. Like, I just feel like him quote, like a quote from Morrow going like, yeah, so we're giving all you these fucking really cool fucking match pieces and all these really sweet cards, but we're going to go ahead and troll you with a fucking Ornithopter. Bam, mic drop, Morrow out. I think it's hilarious that they give fucking have all these amazing things. This is going to be like the cheapest one at like $15. I know it sees play.
To be fair.
I know. And Ornithopter is awesome. I get it.
It is a four of.
I understand that. But it's still hilarious to see a zero mana, 0/2 flyer as a masterpiece fucking card they chose. Cut that out. Give me the fucking rack. God damn it. I get it. It's just, I feel like a little bit of a wizard's trolling. And I find it hilarious.
Yeah, it is. It is a little bit, those bastards. But let's talk about some of the cool ones. We got Wyrmcoil Engine, which the art looks cool. You know, it's like destructing the city. It's all wrapped around a building.
I kind of don't like the art very much on that one.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Like, it doesn't look menacing enough.
Yeah, it does.
That's my problem with it. Like, it's just like the original art for Wyrmcoil Engine. Like, that thing's coming to fuck you up. This one looks like a little, I don't know.
Maybe give you a little smooch.
Yeah. So, hello. I'm just an eye in the sky.
And we got the rest of the swords. So, Sword of War and Peace. Sword of Body and Mind, which, sadly enough, the art, kind of garbage. Yeah,
shitty. I think these sword arts are way worse than the first set sword arts.
I would agree.
I mean, that Sword of War and Peace, like, it looks like something straight out of fucking, what's that fighting game? Like, what am I thinking of? Not Dead or Alive, but,
it looks like something like a fucking paladin in World of Warcraft would have.
It's like, it's a paladin sword, but what's that fucking fighting game? Whatever. Yeah, but it's same along the same lines. It I don't know, looks fucking lame and hokey.
Grindstone, pretty cool. Artwork is meh. I mean, it's on point, but it's not spectacular. Engineered Explosives, I hate that card so much. Ensnaring Bridge, pretty cool. And, I mean, okay, so people were talking about, Extraplanar Lens. Oh my gosh, it's showing us Amonkhet, and it's like, really? Like, you can't see dick in there.
Who said that?
I don't know.
You see, like, a molten lava pit in the middle. Like, what are you...
Yeah, people were getting all, like, fucking up in arms about it.
Come on, there's plenty of lore Easter eggs. You don't need to fucking make them up. There's plenty of ones to find.
And so let's go to the new cards, the new enchantment or artifacts that are going to be new to this set. Paradox Engine for 5, legendary artifact. Whenever you cast a spell, untap all non-land permanents you control. How gross.
Yeah, that card is gonna fucking A. That thing is, it's gonna be pretty fucking nasty, dude. There's gonna be some crazy combos made with that card. I bet you. Like, there's gonna be some stupid shit.
Oh yes, it is combo-tastic. And next we have Planar Bridge for 6 colorless, legendary artifact. Pay 8 and tap. Search your library for a permanent card, put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library.
Hey, knife. Paradox yep. Engine. It's going in my Modern Elves. And I'm going to go ahead and make a lot of mana on turn 5. And I'm going to go ahead and be casting Emrakul that same turn.
Nobody cares.
Actually, not even turn 5. Turn 4.
Nobody cares about
turn 4, I'm casting Emrakul in Modern.
Bullshit
It's
decks.
Coming. And it's going to be awesome. Whatever, Emrakul. Which one do you want to fight against? Let me play your turn or make you sack everything. What do you want?
They're both pretty gross.
Sorry. Go ahead on the Planar Bridge.
I already read it.
Yeah, I know. So it's cool, but it's just so high cost. I mean, Commander, go ahead. But it's other than that, like, whatever. Is that going to see standard play? No.
I mean, it's a more reliable, look at the top 5 cards, that one that everyone's playing, that's winning tournaments right now in Kaladesh. Top 5 cards. Everyone's playing fucking Emrakul with it. Anyways,
you yeah, the Tygam Scheming type of card that you guys usually give a shit for.
What?
It's not called Tygam Scheming. That was what the card was.
It's an artifact, and you pay energy.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I understand what you're saying now.
Yeah, everyone's yelling at their fucking computer or cell phone. It's called this, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, when you say look at, though, there's also a blue card for like one in a blue, which took the top 5 cards or some shit.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. But anyways, so these cards, kind of exciting. I'm curious when they're going to start the spoilers for it, because I think I will have to double check. I heard somewhere about the pre-release. Looking up pre-release.
I believe it'll be the first year. I think this coming Monday will be the first spoilers for it. One of the cards, looking that up, one of the cards I think is pretty sweet, one of my favorite of these new masterpieces, is Pith the Needle. The artwork on there, I don't know. It's just fucking this cool combination of this old school style, like, artifact combined with this modern, like, futuristic computer-style looking plans on there. I don't know. It reminds me like Halo, is what it looks like to me. It looks like a fucking, like, this needle, like, piercing the back of one of the aliens and shit. And
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's pretty fucking sweet-looking. Of all the new ones, that's one of my favorite-looking arts on that kind of deal, so.
So, the pre-release is January 14th and 15th. And it is damn near January right now. You know, we're days away from January, and we still have little to no spoilers, so I feel like they're coming in a little late.
Yeah, but you probably more feel like that because last time they came in so early for the last couple sets. Like, they were so afraid of, like, leaks, I feel like they started doing spoilers, excuse me, earlier than they were, and now, like, I think they used to do, like, 2 weeks beforehand, and the last, like, for Eternal Masters, it was, like, 3 weeks beforehand, a month beforehand, they started spoilers and this shit like that, so... I think this is back on track. What it used to be, like 2 weeks beforehand they start them.
Something. Feel like. Anyways, it just feels like we should be hearing more about the set because there's not a whole bunch of hype about it, and I feel like this close to pre-release there should be a lot more hype. So kind of lackluster so far, but we'll see what comes in the coming weeks.
All I know is it feels like the end of the cast. We're both sitting here starting to shuffle our decks to play.
Well, I mean, we did not have a bunch to talk about, and we didn't really have any show notes. And
no, it's Christmas weekend. No, nothing real magic happened. We are all busy. So this was our little episode 99 leading into 100, which should hopefully be spectacular.
Yeah, expect another 4-hour fucking cast. Hopefully we'll get some familiar voices here to talk you into the new year.
You mean Quickness is coming back?
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Never.
We'll see if your arch nemesis comes back or not.
I can't even call it. Arch nemesis shows up. There's a battle of wits. There's something that happens. There's not, you got too high and stayed home.
So we'll have to see what surprises we have for you. Next episode. But thanks for tuning in. This is episode 99 of the Flanska Kill.
99.
Everything is in the show notes. All
show
the links.
Show notes.
Places you can find us.
Suck our dicks.
Twitch channel. And all that fun stuff. And once again, it goes without saying, fuck Magic and Hash. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
And he's Hot Sauce. And we will catch you guys later.
Wrong one.
That's not
Wrong
supposed
one.
To go there. That's...
Yeah.
Still, you know, we'll maybe. There we go. And then we're going to get out of here real quick, so.
Yeah! There it is.
Got him.
Red balloon, I think of you and let it go.